This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Ian Boldsworth.
Of all the things Nat's ever said last second before we started. Haven't shared my pubic hair, that's what she said.
No, I didn't say
literally,
that.
Literally, right
didn't
before we started, she went, I've not shared. No one can hear you, Nat. Coming up on the show today, 4:30, Scaredy Cats will be joining us from RuPaul's Drag Race UK. It's gone very quiet. The series starts on the 3rd of October.
Wednesday.
FYI.
Wednesday.
Episodes are available weekly from 8 p.m. every Thursday on iPlayer here.
I don't know why I wrote that.
Then at 5 o'clock, Kadeem Ramsey will be in the studio talking about the Netflix show Top Boy.
He's
not
excellent.
Seen it. Nat
He's
has
excellent
seen it.
In it.
I'll be bowing out for that interview and Nat will be taking the reins and interviewing Kadeem. Is that boy or girl?
Boy.
And the boy Kadeem. Then at 5:30 p.m, surprise guest,
Woo!
Apparently, Daniel Sloss will be in the studio talking
is.
About his UK tour, which starts on Tuesday, 1st of October.
Tomorrow.
If he can get off school.
Hold on, the third
call. When the Saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. When the Saints go
Ian Boldsworth on Free Bar Radio.
Welcome to the show. Quite the night at Saints on Friday, Nat.
Oh, yeah, you were there when I texted you.
Battered Wigan.
That's good.
Yeah, semi-final, so we're in the grand final now.
Lovely, well
we got
done.
To the Challenge Cup final, of course, and it all went wrong at Wembley. However, fresh start now. This is to be champions, so if we win the game at Old Trafford, which we've got into now, then that's us champions for the year, which we deserve to be,
well
to
done.
Be honest.
Good.
We do deserve it. We finished 16 points clear at the top of the table. But we've still got to do a stupid playoff system.
Now Old Trafford is where football is also,
now,
is
what,
also
what?
Broadcast from. Broadcast? Play
yeah,
that.
They will be broadcasting. They often broadcast football from there, but on
they
this
do.
Occasion they'll broadcast some rugby league from there.
I didn't know they had rugby there as well as the football.
The grand final's there.
I see.
Just one game a year. Sometimes they'll play internationals there as well, but the grand final, which is the big showcase piece.
Got it.
Showpiece event.
Showpiece.
At the end. Is always been Old Trafford, that.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. So it was very exciting. It was just like, because we didn't know how close it would be that game or if it would be difficult or not. We absolutely battered them.
Okay.
Battered them.
Fingers crossed for
Old
Trafford.
Yep, get your fingers crossed for Old Trafford.
Do
I don't know whether or not, I don't know whether or not the next show will be after it or, I mean, if it's the show we recorded earlier on.
Next week's show,
I think it's like the 14th of October, I think it is.
Okay.
I plugged my phone in over there, so I can't get to it. But, yeah, it's around
7th
that time.
7th is next Monday.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, then it's the Saturday after that.
Got you.
So there we go. That's all the rugby league news out of the way. All good and dusted. Myself and Nat, I should warn you, and I suspect this will carry on to next week's show.
I think so. I've got a strong belief.
Are in fucking stinking moods. Both of us are.
Well, and no, I've said this. I'm not. I'm just so, I'm too tired to be in a bad mood.
When I came in before, you were in a stinking mood. And we couldn't wait to tell each other, and I'll say the same thing at the beginning of next week's show. We couldn't wait to tell each other what a bad mood we were in.
Yeah, it's true.
Due to the actions of other people.
Yeah.
So, what you don't do on next week's show, which you nearly do, but you don't do.
I got sidetracked.
Yeah. Is you don't tell me why you're in. I said I'm not going to talk about mine anyway. But you were going to talk about some of the events that involve around your bad mood.
The reason why I didn't, spoiler alert, I get sad about a puppy.
That is true. You do get very sad about a very graphic incident with a puppy.
I'm devastated.
That I talk about on next week's show.
A poor puppy.
Yeah. Let's say it's in the wars. The puppy on next week's show, fictional puppy, is in the wars.
Yeah, sure.
And before you tell me this, I went to see Count Arthur Strong last week.
Oh, lovely. Okay, good. I mean, obviously good. He's great.
Staggeringly good.
Yeah.
Like, really good. And I always enjoy his shows.
Friend of the show.
But he is, yes. But the last few shows, I've just thoroughly enjoyed them. And he's been with supporting cast and stuff. This show is him on his own. It's called Is There Anybody There?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's my book. His is called Is There Anybody Out There?
Okay.
Which I've pulled him on, by the way, when I saw him afterwards.
Too close, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've been writing mine for like 3 years.
Oh, so yours isn't out yet, right?
And he's done. He's scooped me on it.
If anything, then I'm gonna have to go back and look at yours.
I am not.
Right?
I am not.
Okay.
I'm not.
All right.
Well, is this called Is There Anybody Out There? Mine, the book, which is miles better, which is yet to come out, is called Is There Anybody There? And it's miles better than his show. But his show was really good.
Okay.
It's him on his own, and it was very funny. I was very ill when I went to see it.
Yeah.
But it was very, very funny.
Okay. Is he doing some more live dates?
He's doing a massive tour.
Okay, great.
It's huge, the tour. And it goes right into 2020.
Oh, I'm just trying to get him in here.
Yeah, by all means. Or at least on the phone or whatever.
Yeah, I'll make a note of that if I've got energy.
Make a note of that. Get Paul Rubens as well, Pee Wee Herman. See if you can get him.
Sure, yeah, but he's not over in the UK, is he?
No, but see if you can get him. You said you couldn't get Daniel Handler.
I've tried.
Not doing any press, apparently.
Well, I mean, that's what Walter Stone's telling me that. But I've got Count Arthur Strong. I've got Paul Rubens.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'd love to interview Paul Rubens.
No, I know. I think you do a bloody good job, too.
I think I'd struggle.
Do you?
I really like him. Okay. I think he's really good.
Can you not talk around people that are, you know, say never meet your heroes?
I can do it. Well, I did Miles Hunt, didn't I? And that first one was good. The second one was all right.
That cheered me up. Just remembered the second one.
I was in touch with Miles Hunt last week, just on Twitter, because I had a dream that I was fronting the Wonder Stuff. It was a really weird dream. It was like a student union gig. It was the Wonder Stuff, but Miles wasn't there. So I was fronting the Wonder Stuff. And I was in a bit of a panic because I was like, I hope I can remember like all the lyrics and things.
I reckon you would.
I don't think I would. Oh, and there was a lass, but it wasn't Erica who's actually in the band. It was a different girl. And she was like, I'll guide you through it. It'll be okay. But she was sort of half fronting it as well.
Okay.
And by the end of it, I was doing really well. But at the beginning, I was struggling. But I've had dreams like that before where I'm playing guitar. And I can't play guitar like that.
No.
I can't do it.
You play any guitar?
Very marginally. Okay. Like, I make up my own chords and I can make a tune.
Okay.
But... I can't play like Wonder Stuff songs and that, but I had a dream many, many years ago that I was in Status Quo.
Wow.
That I was playing in Status Quo. I can still remember that.
Who did we have on the show? Francis Rossi, didn't we? Yeah. I reckon he'd have been up for you doing a jam session with him.
Well, there's a gap in there now.
There is a gap.
A spare slot.
There is.
That I could sort of get in that, couldn't I? Would that be bad taste if I get in touch with him now and say, look, appreciate that Rick Parfitt's died. Mm-hmm. We're all very sad about it. I'm sure no one more than you. However, it was like a bit ago now.
Yeah.
Please, can I be in Status Quo?
Well, it seems I don't know. We'll have to look up if they're doing anything still. Because obviously, like Queen, Freddie was gone. Adam Lambert's in the band now, isn't he? He's the singer.
Yeah.
Which is a bit strange to me. But
it
seems to be working, though, doesn't it?
For who? Who's it working for, all that?
I don't know. But it wouldn't be quite the same, would it? Oh, there's a Queen song.
I'd be good in Status Quo, though.
Yeah, would you?
I've got jeans.
Tight jeans.
I've got long hair.
You do wear white trainers. I've seen those.
Yeah, always. Always wear
long hair.
White trainers.
I think you'd fit double denim, would be absolutely fine.
I don't think I'd do that.
Why? No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good look. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd look as good as I normally look if I had double denim on.
We could keep your black t-shirt.
Yeah, I'll do that.
So, double denim jacket.
Can I not wear what? Well, that's
tighter, quite, tighter jeans,
I'm
afraid.
Do I have to wear a denim jacket? Tighter than this, Nat. You can see what religion I am.
No, slightly. I'd say you need a slim cut.
Oh, now we're getting to it.
Rather than a boot cut or whatever.
So you're essentially saying I'm too fat to be in Status Quo.
No,
a direct quote from this show.
That is the make of the name of the jeans.
Oh, sorry, you can't be in Status Quo. You're too fat.
No, that's definitely not what I said. You wear like a sort of flare on the end of your jeans. Well, certainly a boot cut, right?
Yeah, they are boot.
They're never in boot cut Status Quo, are they? I don't think.
I'm not sure these ones are. I had trouble getting boot cut. I used to wear them all the time, and it's quite difficult to get them now.
That's because everyone wears the skinny jeans now, don't they?
Well, they're all wankers. They are, though, aren't they?
I mean, I don't know.
Oh, Daniel Sloss is coming up, by the way, later on, 5:30. Go on, sorry, now, what were you saying?
I hope he comes in skin-tight jeans.
Of course he fucking will.
I hope he wears jeggings, they're so
tight.
Yeah,
of course he will. Of course he will.
Will he?
Yeah, of course he will.
Okay.
Bet he's got a bobble hat on.
Hat on.
I bet he's wearing bangles.
He's wearing bangles.
He's got an earring.
I don't think he's... Well, I don't know, maybe.
Tell you what, I bet he looks a right wanker, mate, when he comes in.
Oh, God. Now, luckily, I know that you know
and
him,
I'll say
so this is all fine.
When he comes in, I'll say to him, look, are people saying you're funny on Twitter or are they saying you're fit?
I think...
Because which one is it meant to be if you're a comedian?
I think he might live in America now, so he might be all tanned and stuff.
Probably lives on Muscle Beach,
he's wearing
imagine.
A black T-shirt and his photo on his press release. No, it... Oh,
to be absolutely brutally honest, I think I'm tarring Daniel with a brush that doesn't necessarily apply to him.
No, I don't think so.
There are other comedians who that applies to, but I don't think it applies really to Daniel so much.
He's been on Conan 10 times.
Right.
That's the show, Conan O'Brien.
Okay.
Only got 30 million views for his online stand-up clips.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't age, apparently.
Is that what it says?
No, it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. I'm confused. And he's also going to be doing a big gig in Russia.
Oh.
Moscow.
That's nice.
Well, there's nothing to ask him now, have we? So.
I found a new Chinese takeaway near my house.
Well done, that's good. And you know, if anything, that's
really nice.
Okay, that's cool.
It's miles
tell them about that and say, well, okay, I appreciate doing a big gig in Russia. Biggest gig in Russia. English-speaking gig. So he's not really trying, is he? Because they've got to wear headphones. But have you been to the Chinese Takeaway?
Well done, Daniel, on your big gig in Russia. I half-varnished a table in my garden the other night.
I mean, didn't even finish it, did you?
Because I wasn't intentionally varnishing it.
Oh, you just accidentally?
Imagine that. I accidentally varnished.
How does that happen?
I honestly did.
We sleepwalk
in. In my garden. Right?
Yep.
I have 4 wooden chairs and a wooden table.
Sure.
Okay, quite kind of small, really quite nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I also have a wooden, you know, they have in beer gardens.
Yeah.
So with like they have down here, downstairs.
Yeah.
I've got one of them, which I bought as an impulse buy. It was quite cheap. It was like 60 quid, I think it was.
That's good.
And I'm like, oh, I'd like that in my garden. So I've got that in there as well. That's what I accidentally varnished. And the reason I accidentally varnished it was I've been using it quite a lot for when I've been doing my prop building things
mm-hmm.
and all my, you know, handiwork and all that, which I do because I'm a sort of like kind of an alpha male.
Sure, alpha male handyman who's got a tool belt that on, sort of thing. Ready to go.
That sort of thing. I've got a tool belt. I just never use it. I bought
do you
it.
Have overalls?
Well, yes, I do.
Yeah, there
but
we go.
I don't wear them.
Okay.
This is it. All these things belong to a Ghostbusters outfit that I once made to go to a quote-unquote haunted house with Barry.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn up dressed as a Ghostbuster. So I have overalls, but they're Ghostbusters overalls.
Fine.
They say peacock on it. Yes, got a badge with peacock on because that's the name I was going by then.
Oh, by the way, just talking about peacock, sorry.
What was that?
That was like a bombshell talking about... But I heard that too. Is that someone in the lot? I just keep getting random emails from car hire companies to hear. Obviously, I used to get the bit just going... And they don't even go, Ray, they go... Hi, Peacock, do you fancy renting a car?
Really?
And I'm like, they're always in my spam folder, but I think it's kind of strange that anyone would think that your name is Peacock.
How has that come about?
Well, obviously, you had an email address for that ages ago,
right.
Which I'm assuming has been converted into Ian,
I saw.
But I think you can still get the ones that come to Peacock.
Right.
It's just really funny when I see, like, to rent a car, Peacock.
How odd. Well, I don't need to rent a car,
No, you don't need
you.
To, you've got a car.
So, I was out, and I, in my office... Right, I've now got C-3PO in my office with R2-D2 and stuff.
Yep.
Now, that was me going, right, I think my office is now finished. I think I've got it now how I want it. But I've got this like little shelving unit thing that was pine.
Sure.
And everything else in my office is like a darker wood, like an oak wood, right? And I thought, I'm going to try and varnish that pine thing so that it fits with the rest of the furniture in the office, and then the office is finished.
Okay.
So I took it downstairs. Now, unfortunately, it was an IKEA, you know, them block ones, them box ones. I can't remember what they're called. Kallax, it might be.
Oh, never did.
That
even
might be what they're called. Cool. It's one of them. It's a four box thing, and I have vinyl records in it with a record player on the top. So I took it downstairs, sanded it down, but I was like, it's not even real wood. So I'm not even sanding wood and stuff, and varnished it.
Right.
But I varnished it on top of the I was going to say desk, the table and chairs at the side thing on top of that.
Yeah.
So a lot of the varnish fell onto that.
Right.
So I started varnishing the thing it was resting on as well, but I only did half of it. And you can see on it now there's just a gap where the wooden bookcase was.
I think that's a good story.
I thought it was going to be better,
but
that story.
I wouldn't relay that story to Daniel when he comes in. I'm just not sure it's going to keep it. There's no ending to it, really.
You think he might nick it?
I think it might be in his Moscow stand-up gig.
He couldn't hit that.
I don't like touching unvarnished wood. It makes my skin crawl. There's a tray here that has it, and it, you know, the texture of it. It makes me want to just... Oh, I hate it.
I've got a hostess trolley in my kitchen.
That's really nice. Very chintzy.
That's
like that.
Unvarnished wood. But it's kind of... It's modern. It's like it's unvarnished wood, so it's essentially another surface.
Oh, okay.
I use it as my kitchen, but it's got underneath it. I could wheel it out.
Yeah, no, that's nice.
That's where I keep all my pans and stuff underneath there.
Like another good story.
But that's unvarnished wood.
Oh, okay,
is what I'm saying
fine,
to you.
Right, yeah.
I've never treated that wood at all.
What other kind of wood do you have in your house? Varnished.
Do you mean like your actions?
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. You're making a joke about.
No, I wasn't. Wood? I was just that we're on the. We're talking
I do
about
get,
woods
I
now.
I do sometimes. My penis goes
get
hard.
Erections in
sometimes,
your house.
Yeah.
Varnished or?
I rarely will varnish my penis.
Okay, fine.
What other wood have I got? I've got an oak table, like coffee table.
Great.
And a matching oak TV stand.
Brilliant.
Got that. I've got a wooden bookcase in my living room, which is a fold-away bookcase. You could take all the books off it.
Yeah.
You asked now.
I know, I'm asking. And now I feel like I'm having the power
if
now.
You took everything off it, right?
Okay,
it folds up flat.
Great.
And I've had that since birth. That's my oldest piece of furniture from my life.
Brilliant.
That's been in every bedroom I've ever had since birth.
Okay.
It's my favourite piece of furniture.
That's great. If you have a favourite piece of furniture, remember, throw it out there to the listeners.
I'm not interested in other people's furniture.
No, you don't care?
No, not at all. But you asked me, so I'm going to take some more wood things.
I'd like to know if someone's got a favourite bit of furniture wood thing.
I've managed to pretty much phase out all my cheapo IKEA bookcases.
Okay, fine.
You know, those little £10 ones?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They don't really last.
Like, so many of them over the years. And I've pretty much managed to replace them all now.
I'm looking for a window cleaner.
Okay.
Just putting that out there if anyone's interested.
Why?
I can't really reach. I know you're going to say that's weird.
What, reach down?
Reach that. No, because where I'm at the window.
Can you not bend over enough to clean your windows?
It opens like one of the. I can't really get. I need someone to come from the outside.
Right.
And just stay on the outside. I can do the inside. They can just. Right. Because obviously I live above a shop, don't I? I don't know.
What do you mean obviously? There's no obviously there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Obviously I live above a shop.
So I can't just fling a ladder off outside Poundland, can I? I mean, I'll just clean my windows, guys.
Well, what do you think the window cleaner will do?
So can I hire a window cleaner to do that?
No, but what do you think they'll do?
We're going to have to do that, but they've got more like tools to do it than me.
You mean more tools?
I've just got some kitchen roll and window lean.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you had a ladder, you could do them yourself.
I don't have a ladder, though. I just thought about that. I actually don't have a ladder.
Right, I've got one.
It's going to have to be tall. It's going to have to be about as tall as this building.
Actually, I've got a massive one. I've got a huge ladder.
Okay.
I have.
Can you bring it around?
It's in the garage. It's in the rafters in the garage. It was just in the house when I moved in there.
Yep.
Massive it is.
That is... Okay, we'll bring it round then.
I once put up a bat box on a tree in the corner of my garden, really high up. It's terrifying.
A bat box?
Yeah, it's a box for bats to live in.
So you want them to live in your garden?
No, it was just given to me. I've no idea. I just thought it'd be like a nice ornamental thing, really. But I've no idea if any bats live in there. I'm certainly not going to go and look.
They're not vampires.
I have a lot of bats around my house.
I don't know what this is, but this is the weirdest way we've started to show. Great. What other animals do you have around your house?
Mice, sometimes I don't like them. I get a lot of pheasants.
One in this building, I'll tell you that.
Don't sound...
No, there is.
I don't care.
I don't like it.
A lot of pheasants, a lot of deer, just in my garden.
No, you don't.
I do. It's like beginning of fucking Snow White.
You have deer roaming around your garden. I would never go out in your garden. They're the one with the antlers.
As opposed to what?
Well, I think the male ones are stags, right? With the horns.
Yeah,
got.
I think the lady deer.
Bambies. You show me a photo of your...
Last Thursday.
Yeah, I wouldn't be going out. And that's quite cute, actually.
But is that a deer in my garden?
That is definitely a deer.
Right, okay. So can we withdraw the thing of, no, you don't?
Oh, you do. You do have deers. Yeah, I don't know why. I believe you. I don't know why I said I didn't believe you. Because your garden
is forest-like.
Sometimes
they romp about. Sometimes they bring little deer with them as well.
Cute.
And they all romp about. And they're not some of those playful dogs.
Sure. Have you gone to pet one?
I've not. They won't, like, any movement. Well, that deer that I've just shown you a picture of, I opened the window to take another picture really quietly and it saw me and bolted.
So do you think if you left your kitchen door open, you just come down one day and there's a deer in
I don't know,
kitchen?
But I'll tell you what I do think, though. I want them to be scared of me.
Sure, yeah.
Not for a power trip, but I don't like the idea of getting the trust of a deer in my garden.
I love a pet deer, though.
No, but listen.
Yeah.
And then it fucks off to wherever it lives.
Oh, yes.
And it's like, oh, I can trust these. I can trust the humans. No problem at all. And
mates.
It just wanders up to one who's got a gun and kills
good
it
point.
Dead.
I was thinking more that it'd be like, we can trust humans, and it brings like 50 of its mates down to your garden.
No. I was thinking more, I would prefer it to be skittish because
that would mean
it would be skittish
don't
around
be
any people and it probably won't get shot.
Okay, fair.
Good start.
I don't know, 7 out of 10.
It'll do. Hey, we're joined by Julia in the studio at the moment.
She's running.
Julia, where are you going? Where are you going?
She's running. You should.
That's Julia. She's staff behind the scenes. She's in charge of everything.
She was bossing us about
then. She just won't come on air. That's what I've got. Give it to trying to tell them what
we're laughing at? Not yet. I will be discussing off air before I say on air.
I don't think that's all right.
Well, I'm lost. I mean,
I don't think what you just read to me is all right. No.
It's fine. It's on a.
I know it's on a BBC press release now, but I don't think it's all right.
Well, it's obviously it's fine. It's good.
Can you imagine if I said that on air?
No, I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine me like
the fucking no, but the fuss that could cause.
Oh yeah.
But that's on a. Is it BBC?
On iPlayer, yeah.
iPlayer, BBC iPlayer press release.
Okay. So anyway, Mark Stevenson from South Korea, as we know, he's in South Korea, just tweeted, Nat is a ladder.
Yep, fair comment.
What the hell?
So maybe he's suggesting that I come around your place and climb up you and then do your windows.
Wash your windows. Right, oh, it's a height thing. Get it, Mark.
Get me chamois out. And
chamois?
Yeah.
Chamois leather.
Get rid of your grime, wink, wink.
Oh, God. Okay. I genuinely need it just from the outside. My windows.
I'll do you from the outside, yeah.
Well, that'll have to be in my bed. That's in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the house, a bit hard. Cause it's
in. How about this? How about I come around and clean your windows, right? Mm. And you pretend that you don't know I'm there, and you being like a negligee and stuff in the bedroom, like with your net curtains up, but there's like a little...
I don't have net curtains.
No, well, you'll get some for the thing. And there's like a little slit in the curtains that I can just like peep through. Like that, I'd be like, ooh.
Whatever I can get my windows clean is fine, fine. I'll fling some nets up for you. I don't have any
curtains. But act like you don't know I'm there. I'd be like a peeping Tom or something.
That sounds great.
I'll do that.
I don't have any nets. I don't have a blind. I just have curtain or curtains.
Right, you're slagging me off for saying what's in my house, but now you're talking about what's in your house. Well, it's equally boring.
It is quite boring. I don't know why I said that.
Tell the story, please. I asked you to tell half an hour ago. About why you're tired.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I'm so tired of forgetting things. So my neighbours, who I think might be new, the ones that are above me, I don't know, found it incredibly great idea. This is Sunday. Yeah. This is my day of rest / watching Netflix in bed.
Yeah.
Well, I like a little lie, and it is a Sunday. No, let's start playing really loud music at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Now, Julia, that wouldn't come on air, Swedish Julia, that was a minute ago.
She's Swedish.
She is Swedish.
I didn't know that.
Had a theory that someone's just come in.
She doesn't sound Swedish.
She doesn't, but then when she's on the phone, the first time I didn't realise she was Swedish, I thought she was talking in tongues, but it is Swedish.
Right.
So they put the music on really, really loudly from 6 until 11:30 at night. This is all... I thought, they must be going to work
or
something.
What sort of music is it?
It's
doof, 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 that sort of thing.
Some drum and bass. I don't mind drum and bass. I like drum and bass, but not 6 in the morning on a Sunday. And then some other music, which I was so delirious. I don't even know what this music is now. I can't. Which is a good thing, not pigeonholing to a genre. Great. Yeah. Again, not from 6 a.m.
Slow down.
This morning,
slow down,
as well.
Stop shouting.
This morning as well, I had the same thing.
Right.
Now it's a Monday, so I was like, I'm more forgiving about that.
No, no,
same
not
time,
at all.
Not
no, it's not acceptable. You told me you were going to call the police, and I don't.
But I'm not a snitch.
No,
so that's the thing.
It's nothing to do with a snitch. I don't think it's the police you're meant to call.
But in American films,
yeah, go on.
Super Bad, whatever they are. Right. Well, Seth Rogen turns up at the door.
You kids, turn this off.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that the police do not deal with noise pollution now. I think.
Well, maybe I'll dress up as a police person and go down there and bang on the door.
And they'll go, well, you've got no jurisdiction here.
I believe it's
environmental health that you need to call now. I think it is.
I was thinking about
if anyone knows, let us know out of people already. But I think it's environmental health.
I had to go and like drag myself to the sofa and sat there and say, oh, I'm so tired. But what if I was talking about, what about cutting their electrics? Would that be? That'd be bad.
Again, I think you might be going slightly too extreme when you could just knock on the door and say, would you mind turning that music off? I'm asleep. I work nights.
Yeah.
And they were which you technically do in your other job.
Yeah, my other job, I do some window cleaning, actually.
Night shift,
Window cleaning.
Cleaning up the grime. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I feel so tired that I said earlier, I feel like I'm in a horror film, but I'm the horror one.
You're the horror one?
The monster.
You feel like Freddy?
I do feel a bit like that.
Why? Has it made you feel violent?
Just a bit out of sorts, like I'm having an out-of-body experience.
That's how I feel like all the time at the moment. It's horrific.
Okay.
It's horrific, and it's not. And I've been getting anxiety, which I've never had in my life before. And there's certain triggers for anxiety as well in my life, which are really making me unable to sleep.
Okay.
I got a... speeding ticket last week.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Because I was being fucking relentlessly texted.
Okay.
And it's
not
like
passing twice because you were asleep at the wheel.
No, I wasn't. No.
Because
I was being relentlessly
pestered,
even though I'd said clearly I was driving.
That is the thing that we talked about this earlier. If you say to somebody, "I'm in the studio," or "I'm driving," or "I'm about to get on the train," that is a clear indication. I'm busy. I'm busy for the minute.
Yeah.
Email me if you need to, but perhaps don't text me for a good half hour at least.
Well, anyway.
Anyway.
So what's your what is your plan of action for this? Because if this carries on all week...
I don't know what to do. I've just been brought back some melatonin.
Well, you won't sleep through noise.
No, that's true. And I've got earplugs and everything.
Yeah.
Do I just join him, just go up and have a party? Hey.
Well, again, I don't think that's necessarily...
No, it's not necessary.
I don't think if you've got annoying neighbours that moving in with them is necessarily... Cause
it's an option.
No, because it'll be still. It'd be just louder.
What if we swap flats? That won't work, will it?
Cause what on earth?
That won't work, will it? It's not a good
just
plan.
Just give them drop a note through or something and just say...
Shut up.
Well, you don't have to be aggressive, but you can just say... You know, you could even start with an apology. Say sorry to be a pain, but
right, okay.
Could you not play this music quite so loud?
Well, there's a lot going on where I live. I've got loud music, as I've shown you. We've got the man up having a nice time on the chair, masturbating,
having a wank outside your window.
Yeah, that's there's yeah. a lot of sights where I live.
Yeah, there isn't there. At what point do you move?
I know. I think I'm not gonna. Cause I really like. I mean, I like my flat a lot.
It sounds brilliant.
I really do like my flat a lot. I like so. I don't want to move.
Yeah.
To be fair, I've not seen the man. It has been raining for a week and a half, though. So that's perhaps why I've not seen the man in the chair.
So he has some standards. yeah, I'll wank in your garden, but not if it's raining.
Yeah, maybe. It's kind of not in my garden, though. It is on the road, but it's just where I look over my balcony.
Yeah.
See, I've never had a balcony
before.
Your
view, isn't it? It's in your view.
It is in my view, but, you know. I'll take that over the loud music.
How do you feel about us just playing songs for the rest of the show?
No, we've got two guests mingling in the green room now, and we'll get the first.
We'll have the guests. We'll just kill a bit of time with some music because I'm not up for it and you're not up for
it. I think we'll talk more about
we're talking
carpentry
shit now.
And maybe housework.
Nah, we're talking shit.
No more than that, actually, a lot more.
We're
than
talking unentertaining shit because we're both in a bad mood.
I'm not in a bad mood though. I keep saying that.
Right,
I'm
you're
not,
overtired
I'm tired,
and I'm in
yeah.
a stinking mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a recipe for disaster now.
No, it's going to be good.
On this show, the way this is going, someone,
yeah.
one, you or I, is yeah. going to say something and we don't have the option of taking it out because it's pretty
it's not
good.
Not me.
Are you sure?
Oh, God. Now, don't say that to me.
No, do you know what I mean? Do you think it feels like one of... You know no. when we've had pre-records and we've gone, oh, maybe we'll cut that out?
It's very occasionally.
Yeah, very occasionally. Very but it does happen, and it's normally when we're in this sort of mood.
Well, let's go with it. Life on the edge, eh?
I don't know. I'm not really in the mood for a bit any drama, to be honest. We'll bring some guests in.
Oh, it's weirdly, Joseph... Sorry, I just seen a tweet from Joseph who called it. Nat is going to cut their phone line next. That is a good option, actually. If they've got a landline, I don't know who does that anymore.
And how will that help?
Yeah, good point, Joseph. They're not playing it from their phones. You're not helping the situation, actually. I'm just agreeing with you. Like, that's a good point.
What's that going? It's like saying, Nat will cut off the water supply. It's like, what? How does that help anything?
Come on, Joseph. Think about us.
Yeah,
silly.
Think about it, Joseph. We're clearly are, aren't we? Save it for later. The Beat. Speaking of the Wonder Stuff, they did a cover of that on one of their albums. Really,
I love
really
the
good.
Beat. Very good band.
I didn't tell you about the Wonder Stuff. So I tweeted Miles about that dream that I had.
Yeah.
And said, is it definitely out of the question that I could ever front the Wonder Stuff? And he said that when he dies, I'm to get in contact with Malcolm and Erica.
Do they know that?
Well, I presume that's just a done deal now, isn't it?
Okay,
so
fine.
Now I'm
that's
wondering
good.
Whether or not, do I...
No,
like,
I mean, I would. If you were, I definitely wouldn't. Would you what?
Do I, like, get a hit contract
no,
on him or something?
Well, Miles, no, because it would be too obvious. You have to, if you'd, like, yeah. So wait a few years.
What if I just kill him in a scuffle that got out of hand?
Well, it wouldn't be premeditated, but it is now that you've said it, so you're really not helping
yourself. No, because I'm saying I'm definitely not doing that. So if,
okay.
it happens,
so if it happens...
If that does happen, then it was just a horrible
how
coincidence.
How much do you want to be the lead of the band, really?
I want one go of it.
Oh, so well, what if it doesn't work? Then bring Miles
it
back.
It almost certainly won't work, but...
Well, it's not worth Miles.
Yeah, but I will still have the experience.
Okay, but then they'll have to break up.
Well...
I think you're ruining it for everyone, aren't you?
Not me.
What if he just lost
everyone
his
else,
voice
yeah.
for a minute?
Don't think he'd let me. You okay. heard what he was like in that second
yeah,
interview.
Yeah. Yes.
We're joined now by... am I addressing you as Scaredy Cat?
You are, yes.
Is that what we're doing? Scaredy Cat. From RuPaul's Drag Race UK. Now, the series... Has it started now?
No, because we're on the 30th of September. We're doing the live show now.
Okay.
The 3rd of October.
So it's 30th of September today.
It is.
So, so you're not known yet at all?
I'm not known at all. No.
How exciting. It's like a scoop.
I know. I barely know who I am.
I'm not familiar with RuPaul's Drag Race at all, right. Although I didn't
even though we said we had Bianca Del Rio on the show.
Yeah, and I really liked Bianca
yeah,
Del Rio.
Great.
Yeah, it's good interview that, as I recall.
And there was a while on this show... This is really early days.
You kept
into caning
it.
It
with
kept
drag.
Kept bringing drag artists on the show.
Really?
I have no idea. I wasn't.
Is it drag queen no more, or is it drag artist?
Drag artist.
Okay. Drag queen still acceptable.
Oh yeah.
Okay. They were panicking about it earlier.
I was.
You don't want to get all into that. It's
yeah.
scary.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
I want to say the right thing.
Yeah. God. Just don't say anything.
So yeah, there was a period of time where I couldn't move in here for drag queens.
Really?
It was just constant. Well, I don't know why she kept booking them.
There was a show called Drag Queen. I'm sure it's called Drag Queens of London or something. And I just kept booking. But all of them came in. Everyone on that series came in. I don't know.
And sort of, do you know what? It was sort of as you'd expect as well. There was pretty much a 50-50 split between thoroughly lovely people and absolute twats. Yeah, do you know what I mean? It was like there was a real... It was, you didn't know, but you could get a gauge of it pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
You knew whether you were going to have half an hour of, ooh, text one to no one, or whether you were going to actually have a conversation.
But everyone that came in, I think, no exception was there, always were saying, right, we'd like to get Ewan drag in. Well, yeah, the hair and stuff, I'd like to get Ian dragged up, which I could see.
Were they in drag? Did they come in drag?
Yeah, they really did have
I don't remember anyone. No, I don't remember anyone coming in actually
I seem to remember there
drag.
Were photos of some, way
was
back.
That?
Some, yeah.
Effort.
This I can't remember.
This was about 5 years ago now.
I guess they probably look good on the radio.
Yeah, well, we all do. I'm 24, of course. So RuPaul's Drag Race, but it's been going for years and years, hasn't it? It's a thing with RuPaul.
Really long.
Is this just exclusively UK, this one?
Yeah, so the UK series is just it's about to start on the 3rd of October, which is Thursday,
Thursday, you're right.
Yeah, first time ever.
Okay.
First season.
How do you feel about it? How much of it's filmed?
It's all been filmed.
Is it all done? So you know who wins and all that sort of stuff?
Well, I know...
I'm not gonna push one in, but I mean I'm saying, but you're aware of the full story of this series already.
Yeah. No one fully actually knows who wins until it airs.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
That's a little bit of a detail for you.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's cool.
How many episodes is it?
I think it's eight. Eight.
Okay.
And yeah. There's 10 girls, 8 episodes.
Right, and they're available weekly. They're gonna be at 8 PM on iPlayer on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Cause this is now like an unknown quantity in terms of who's on it. Like in a week's time, we could talk about this, and we've got, you know, everyone will be up to speed with who's who and who they like and who they don't like and all that sort of thing. But we can now sort of get ahead of the curve a little bit because we've got yourself, Scaredy Cat. So I've got Scaredy Cat, age 20, is the youngest queen in this year's competition. Scaredy is bisexual and got into drag thanks to her girlfriend.
Yeah. See? So I'm going out with a girl. I call it bi, call it pan, whatever. I just go out with anyone or fuck anything, basically.
Yep.
Oh, good.
She's like that. Nat's like that.
There you go.
What? Window cleaners.
I haven't said that. Well, definitely.
She can't.
Although I've said that, I do need my windows cleaned. Yeah. So if you'd like to get in touch with the show.
Amazing.
Go on.
So me and my girlfriend, we do drag together.
Okay.
We're like primarily, sounds really pretentious, but primarily artists. We do art. That's what I can actually do. And then... Like, oh, let's
never apologise for being an artist. I've said that before. I think that's an easy trap to fall into, and I would do that sometimes.
Right.
I know sometimes when I spoke about stand up, when I used to do stand up, I would go, you know, if it's an art, if you consider it to be an art and all that, it's like no, it's fucking art. It's not up for debate.
I think so. Yeah.
So
I like that.
So I don't know why I apologised for it. Do you know what I mean? For the idea of
and
being
people that snobby about it, don't worry about them. Of any art, I mean, people. That's not art. This is art. Who's you to decide that?
Sep dance. That's shit.
No.
We're not counting dance as
no,
art.
We do count dance.
So let's go. I'm going to go through the other contestants.
Okay. Gorgeous.
We got the judges as well. RuPaul.
Oh, they're fun, aren't
Michelle
they?
Visage. Terrifying. Graham Norton, Alan Carr. Great.
Oh, they're lovely. Cute. Funny.
Continue.
Right, we've done the judges.
I'll just mention them.
But we all know them people.
Yeah, they're all nice.
So, what I would ask you to do, when I say the name of the person, I would ask you in no more than 2 words to give an assessment from your point of view, from Scaredy Cat's point of view.
Okay.
This isn't definitive by any means.
Okay.
But this will now set the scene for everybody for when this comes on to the TV.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You can dis it, you don't have to do it.
Oh no, I'll do it.
Okay, fine.
Just terrified, obviously.
Right. The first contestant is Davina DeCampo. I'm going to say age 35, this is the press release.
Yeah.
Age 35, known as a singing queen, Davina has already appeared on The Voice UK and was a judge on BBC One's Altogether Now.
Yeah.
And for our assessment, 2 words, it can be as vague as you want, by the way, from Scaredy Cat.
2 words, I say professional and honestly, genuinely lovely.
Right. She's professional
lovely. Three, you've done three words.
I've got professional lovely, I'm going to write this down.
Professional lovely is fine.
Pro lovely. Three.
But you can't put genuine in that.
No, genuine is not that. It's pro lovely.
Yeah, pro lovely.
Lovely.
Yeah. Okay.
Pro lovely.
The next one.
Oh my God.
I'm going to give the description of the next one first. Age 29, the tart with a heart comedy queen, is a huge Coronation Street fan and does an amazing impression of Deirdre Barlow. And that is bag of chips.
Yeah. Absolute mess.
Absolute mess. I'm just going to keep this for when they'll probably come on the show at some point. So
okay. Really nice.
The next one, age 34. This freak show, quotation, queen, studied costume design at university. And if you're wondering about her accent, she's originally from Canada.
Mm.
That's the lovely Crystal.
Welcome to the stage. Alternative.
Okay.
Yep.
And should we say? Sassy.
Sassy and alternative.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
The next one is the Vivienne.
I've looked at it.
Age 27. Describe, and interestingly as well, the Vivienne is the longest blurb.
Oh, really?
Out of all the queens on here. Describing herself as a scouse wife who has come into money, moved to LA and blew it all and then had to move back to Liverpool. Vivienne can pull off a mean Kim Woodburn impression. Mm. What are your thoughts? Two words. Do you want more?
Terrifying, scary, any of the above.
Terrifying, scary.
Right, okay.
Terrifying, scary.
Okay, we're getting the proper... Fuck you.
I might hold off on the Vivienne.
Oh, God, these names.
Yeah.
The next one is Cheryl Howell. Age 25. Yes, she's a parody of Girls Aloud singer Cheryl Cole. The same Cheryl who's set to appear as a guest judge this series.
Okay.
Hilarious and just really kind. Like, honestly.
I can't
that's
see
nice.
You
kind.
Need
that's
got
nice.
Two words.
So hilarious and kind. Sorry. Got it.
Yeah, my favourites, isn't it? Okay.
Cheryl will be all right with that, I think.
Yeah, I think
so. It's a tribute, isn't it?
Yeah, as long... I don't know. Sorry.
Well, she's a guest judge on the show, so you'll find out.
Yeah, exactly. Very true.
Good God. You know, I said about we might say
something. Yeah, I know
something.
What you're about to say.
Yeah,
well,
right, so
blue... Talking about toilets.
Blue hydrangea. Sorry, apologies. Age 23. The Belfast-born queen says she's a GCSE art project, high fashion from outer space, a cartoon character with Muppet realness.
This is your favourite one, because he loves the Muppets. Really? Ian loves the Muppets.
Well, you can't just put the word Muppet into something and it's
okay,
my favourite.
creative and cute.
Creative cute.
That's
lovely.
Good. That's good.
That's nice.
The next one, again, I'm going to withhold the name for the moment. Age 34. Another comedy queen. This person has performed on the West End alongside drag race judge Michelle Visage, and that's Vinegar Strokes.
Vinegar Strokes. Mummy Vibes.
Mummy Vibes.
Right,
very
got
good.
You.
Got it.
The penultimate contestant, modelling herself on Grace Jones, age 21, by the way, and Annie Lennox. Mm. This person studied drag at university.
Is that
cool? No, I think you did.
I think that's made.
The fuck is the world coming to?
Why? How would you maybe else
studied
learn how to...
drag at university, and I get the piss took out of me for having a drama degree?
Well, I don't know. We should look it up. Is there a drag? Maybe there's a drag maybe. Course that you
apparently
need.
She can pretty much sew anything that's gothy Kendall,
okay, stylish,
yeah,
and like up to date, like modern.
Okay, stylish modern.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of like dark black stuff.
And then our final contestant is age 30. The singing queen is looking to inspire any young British Asians watching. And I've not even read that bit. Looking to inspire any young British Asians watching, going by the moniker of Sum Ting Wong.
How should I say?
What do we think of that? I don't know what I think of that. It makes me laugh.
I didn't think twice about it, but then everyone's like, oh, fuck, that's quite... And I just realised, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's funny, isn't it? It's in light of itself, so it's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean?
I'd never be the one to say, that's outrageous, it shouldn't
no,
be.
Yeah.
You know, that's not my thing at all.
I was surprised that it was on at 8, the name for 8 p.m. on BBC, but, you know, it's fine. but what two words would you have to describe her?
Funny, definitely, like, hilarious.
Yep, hilarious,
and
yeah.
Like large and in charge.
Oh, well, so go for large.
Because you've
charge.
Hyphenated stuff there, you can get away with that.
Large and in charge. Yeah.
How is it as an experience? How is it? Is it surreal or is it? Does it become normal quick?
Very, very surreal. Definitely doesn't come normal.
No. Okay.
Absolutely terrifying.
Right.
I cried a lot. Like off.
Really?
Off
yeah.
camera. Yeah. Probably should have eaten a bit more, drunk a bit more, slept a bit more. But
okay.
The anxiety was so high. Like, I'm called scaredy cat for a reason.
Really? Oh, okay. So that's the thing in your real life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm a properly anxious person from, like, answering the door to going on national TV.
So where does that leap come from then? So where do you make the leap from being someone with anxiety to actually go to something that's very vulnerable?
Yeah.
And it is, you know, being on TV, completely. No matter however you do it, is very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Just being a talent show, I guess, is even more so,
God,
I thought.
Very intense. It's like... I'm very anxious, but I'm also a massive attention seeker.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Like, I need it all looking at me. It's just endless. What is it called? Paradox. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
It's just it's very weird.
It's an interesting thing, I think. I mean, I know a fair few people that have anxiety issues and stuff, and I believe I probably do myself as I'm getting older. I think
really,
I think it's getting a little bit worse. But very specific. So very specific things make me anxious now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's an odd thing, I think, to. And it's a true thing that I think there are people who, would explain their lives to you, explain how they feel on the inside and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the count would be like, I've just done my year. Well, how does that tally up with going doing that? And I think it makes absolute perfect sense.
Yeah.
Particularly, I would have thought, if you're in drag. So particularly if you're...
Yeah, it helps.
Embodying
definitely.
another character,
definitely.
Ultimately.
That's what I try and do with my drag. I'm like very much myself, but also okay. I try and be this like cartoon girl. That's the whole point of Scaredy Cat.
Yeah.
And it's about like embracing, oh, I'm terrified, by the way, all the time. Don't expect too much of me.
Yeah.
Whilst looking really good, hopefully.
It's a good hook as well, isn't it? Because it's certainly, and again, I don't mean this in a cynical way, but it certainly gives a persona of vulnerability and a persona yeah. of, you know, being kind of, people will be drawn to that.
I hope so.
I would have thought so. Unless they got a whiff that you were bullshitting, you know. And if someone was bullshitting that and people got a sniff of that, I'm like, I'm not sure they're how they seem.
That's really interesting, actually. I feel like some people would think that because I'll come right. across very confident, if not arrogant sometimes.
Okay.
But that
okay.
is, like, you know, like a cat, the whole cat thing as well. They're really cute, they're really nice, and yeah. they're really scared all the time, and then suddenly they scratch you. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. sometimes when I'm very scared, I'll be like, I'm the best. Do you know what I mean? Like a
do you know what you should do? If a cat scratches you, and you legally can do this, is you should put it in a sack and chuck it against the wall.
No, that's absolutely not true.
I'm not saying that anyone should do that to you.
That.
I'm saying, if a cat actually attacks you, you can put it in a sack and you can throw it. You can throw it really hard at a wall.
No, you can't do that. So you can promise you're scaredy cats.
Somebody told me once that you can.
Well, who was that person?
That's how you've got to do it. It was a bloke at a
party. Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, the oracle. Cool, there we go. There's definitely always trust a guy to
run. He had three sacks with him.
No, don't look. Just give it a menacing stare back, I think, yeah, and then run away. That's what I would do.
I'll stroke it. And
I'm not stroking
it. Okay.
No, if it's just claw me.
See that?
It might be scared.
That?
Oh, yeah.
Can you see it? That was from a cat.
Yeah, but it's cool. Yeah,
I wish I'd killed it.
No!
I
did,
I didn't, but now with passage of time and I've got that big scar on my arm, I now wish I'd killed that cat.
It's just scared, that's all.
Well.
It's probably dead, though, by now, right?
I really hope it is. I really hope it is.
Some cats are just. As some humans are just wrong. There are some cats within the cat world that I'm sure are just bad ones, right?
I love that. Though.
Well, I don't agree with capital punishment for humans, but I do agree with it for cats.
No. I don't think for any person. But you know, cat. I'm not going to say what I was thinking.
People Radio does not condone.
No, we don't.
I'm allowed my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm allowed to point out that it's incorrect. Do not do anything to cats.
What do you have a? Is there a game plan in terms of? And again, I don't mean that in a cynical way. Is there a game plan in terms of what this launches into? What you know, where you go from here
for
from the show?
Me?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So. I hope it opens the door to a whole new world of stuff. Like I do music, and like I said, I do art primarily.
Yeah.
So I would do exhibitions. I could do, like, I've just done my own music videos.
What sort of art do you do? What sort of thing?
Oh, it's very hard to explain. It's like a bit like Banksy, but not the sculptury stuff. You know, like the. Not the graffiti stuff, the sculptury kind of thing.
Yeah,
like
okay.
Dismal land, that kind of thing.
Oh, right.
Like, surreal, fun. I think a lot of art nowadays is very up its own arse, and a lot of people, the masses, can't obviously understand it because it's not made for them. It's made for the elite, which is rubbish. So I try and make art which people can actually understand. And when you get in touch with an art piece and actually you get it, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And also to try and say something, not just be like, oh, this is how I felt today.
Yeah.
But more like, this piece is about how I hate social media because it does this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Or like, I think you should do this and this and this. So, yeah.
I think the idea of the elite, of art being for the elite isn't necessarily right. My feeling on it is I think there is a perception within the masses
that
your reaction to art should be something different to what your actual reaction is.
Right.
So I think the reaction is literally you could look at it, I could just draw something with a felt pen now and go look at that, and if it does evoke in you, if you go, I really like that, that's the end of the story. That's all it's about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not about how good that is or how vague it is or anything like that. That's my feeling on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I truly feel that art in all its expressions is something that if it makes you feel something, it's valid.
Yeah.
As a thing.
I just struggle with going to the Tate and looking at a brick and then trying.
I know,
but I would even defend that because I would say if you walk into the Tate or wherever it was and see Tracy Emin's bed or all that sort of thing and you go, what the fucking hell is going on there? What is that?
Yeah.
And if you walk out going, can you fucking believe that? It was a bed. Do you know how much she's made from that?
It was an unmade bed.
Right, but no, this is the point. If you're going out of there and that's your day as you're walking around with your partner. Or whoever around London going, I genuinely can't fucking believe how much money they want for that and that's passing for art. That validates it.
It does.
Okay.
Because it's given a response, reaction, as a reaction. Even if your reaction is, I am furious about this.
Completely. But I don't know. I think a lot of art's been done. A lot of things have been done. I mean, every generation says that, don't they?
Yeah.
So now I feel like art should be used to try and make a difference in the world because we've got a lot of things to change. Like the environment or like, you know, like I said, social media. There's a lot of problems with that. So that's what I try and do.
No, I agree with that. As a tactic, if you like, or as an ethos, I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to do that.
It doesn't have I think it's really good when it does.
Yeah.
Like Banksy, like we were saying, you know, he tries to actually say something, maybe change some people's opinions. Or make them think about things they haven't thought about.
Have you ever seen Banksy?
Have I met him?
What?
Have seen you? Him? No.
Have you seen him?
Or maybe I have.
I haven't seen him. I think I know who it is. But
do you know what he looks like? I can tell you what he looks like.
Go on.
Do you remember that programme, that documentary on Channel 4 years ago, and there was that little man? I think he was the shortest man in the world.
Oh, fuck's sake.
And he always had a cig on.
Oh, I don't know who that
he was always smoking a cig. A very wizened face, very, very old.
No. I don't remember, like, but he sounds great.
That's what Banksy looks like.
No, it's not what
it is. It is. That's exactly what he looks like.
Not what
you know when he has like any of his stencil things are high up.
Yeah,
he's not
on
done
that.
No, he's just stood at the bottom telling them where to put it.
You know, he could still be an artist and do that though. He could just, you don't have to paint it yourself, do you? Nowadays,
he's always with it.
He's a wizened old man and he's always got a cig on.
Oh, okay, I like him. It sounds great.
There is a picture of him on Wikipedia,
like
supposedly.
Is he? Yeah, yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
People are always saying who they think. I think they have revealed who it is now. But
really?
Is it someone well known?
No. For a while, they thought it was a guy that was in Massive Attack, and he was like, no, it's not me. It's not me. And they're like, well, you would say
that.
That's
what
you?
People say.
You would say, you would say that.
Your identity is a secret.
No,
going,
hell no.
So, Bruce Wayne, are you Batman? It's not me.
No. If I ever get accused of being Banksy, I'm saying, yes, I am. Yes, yeah, sure. Yes, I am Banksy. That's correct.
Give me the money, give it now.
I wonder what the legality of that would be. I could just claim tomorrow that I'm Banksy. And to anyone, I can just go on Twitter and just go, I am right.
Hi, guys.
The time is right. I am Banksy and I've been Banksy all along. And if someone says, well, no, you're not, I'll say, well, then, well, prove it. Prove I'm not Banksy. Show me the real Banksy then. Well, can't secret. Well, then it's me.
And then the other Banksy comes out and he's like, no, I'm Banksy. I'm Banksy. Yeah. Like,
let's all claim we're Banksy.
What we all do. We'd all get some of that money. That sounds good.
I reckon we could do that.
Sounds good.
I'm not averse to it. Well, that's an exciting prospect, I think, for you.
Yeah.
And it's... I'm so unfamiliar with it. I don't know anything about it at all. It's not my bag. You know, what I mean? I presume it's not. You know, I'm not I'm speaking of a place of complete ignorance there. Like I don't
I love
know
RuPaul.
What happens in it.
And I love the fact that RuPaul was over in the UK for a bit. And it's a selfish art. Does she live here now?
I don't. I think London is her favourite city in the world, but I don't know if she lives here.
Okay,
I've
just seen her tweet all the time about over in the UK again. I was like, she moved.
I think she just loves
How does drag fall in with the way that the world is ever changing and the way that people decide this, that, and the other at any given time?
Yeah.
How does drag fit comfortably into that, or is it uncomfortable?
I think it fits quite well now. I think drag is a very big term now. I don't think drag is just a guy dressing up as a girl, supposedly.
Yeah, there are girls dressing up as guys, which incorporate into drag as well. Yeah,
there's non-binary people.
Make sure they know.
There's like trans drag queens. It's all drag is very. It's just I call it dressing up instead.
Yeah,
it's
easier. And there are. I think was it the American one where there were females dressing up as. Guy.
Not on the show.
On
no.
This, I think in the was it not on the American
if they
one?
They have
though?
Like guests on the show.
I realised that's
like
what I meant to
members.
Say a second ago, and I said it the wrong way around, didn't I? I went, there's guys dressing up as girls. You're like, yeah, I know. I meant in my head, I was going, there's girls dressing up as guys.
Well, I think that was every possible word you could have used there.
Yeah, true. Got it all. But I think no. I think in the American there were some females dressing up as guys, and I was like,
really?
Okay, that's cool. Yeah.
Was it?
I'm not sure if it was on the show, but yeah.
No, I just wonder.
I just wonder
because I do find it quite tiresome, like that sort of constantly having to keep up with different terminology and stuff. I think because I always approach something with going why. That's my thing.
Right.
If I go why about something and there isn't a valid, in real life, valid reason about then I'm like I can't be doing with that.
Mm.
You know, I can't. It's like you can do it. It's fine. Go and do it. It's fine. But don't rewrite my dictionary, my vocabulary.
Mm.
That's understandable.
Do you know what I mean? I honestly don't mean that in a cunty way either.
Yeah.
It's really not that. It's more just like I've not got time for that.
You've got
wood
to varnish,
haven't you?
You've got things to do in the country.
I've got loads of stuff to do. No, but you know what I mean? It's not me going. Well, it's not how it should. Well, a man is a man, and it's not that at all. It's just going. I can't keep up with your demands,
right?
And your demands feel unreasonable. It's that sort of feeling. So I just wondered if it was a.
I think it was a natural fit.
For a lot of people, it's going to be a bit of a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Obviously. And it's how you deal with it. I mean, I just don't care about a lot of things like that. If you can call me whatever, I don't really give a shit. Some people be upset. It's really important to respect people's pronouns if they want that, or, you know, if they want to be called a certain thing or a certain name, that's fine. But, you know, there's no need to...
I think it would be one thing if someone was incessantly, deliberately using a pronoun that you didn't want yourself. I think it would be a different thing if you called... For example, if I said to you, I went, oh, it's really nice, oh, you know, nice meeting you, mate, or you know, whatever. Because I say man a lot. I go, oh, hi, man.
Yeah. Sex at me, don't you? Yeah.
No, but there are people, if I went, oh, nice to meet you, man, you'd be like... You know, would react to that.
Yeah, there's always going to be those people.
That's what I mean. So that's the people I'm talking about.
Right.
So it's.
I have it. There was a rapper who called me on Friday night who kept. And I've told him before, he keeps calling me bro. And I'm like, you stop calling me bro, please. He goes, I call everyone bro. And I'm like, okay, but I'm not into this. You just stop calling me bro. And he's just like, no, everyone's bro. And I was like, I don't like it.
I've been thinking about it a lot. I wrote a thing recently. This is on Patreon. I wrote a thing. It's not actually up yet, but I wrote a thing about Rocky Horror. I was a big fan of Rocky Horror as a kid, you know, and as an adult, I really like Rocky Horror. It's amazing. But I was looking into it's shifting, you know, in the modern world, how some people react to it now. And some people are like, well, no, that's not all right. And that's, you know, blah, 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 blah. Which I gave pretty short shrift to, because my reaction was, well, I liked it and I know what good that's done for people.
Yeah.
I know how many people who felt so subjugated, who felt that was like a huge release, be that from watching the original show or be that from going doing the audience participation stuff and all that, where they had the thing I've written is about the fact that Rocky Horror was kind of the first safe space. Like the movie.
Get dressed up and go to the theater,
and it was safe, and there was no sort of, nobody was judging anyone, no one was calling anyone names or anything like that, other than what was in line with the show. And I then find it quite galling, really, when something can then be reappraised years later and go, well, it's out of order because they say transvestite. And it's like, fuck off. You know, that's my...
At the time, it was something completely different.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, probably not hurting anyone, is it? It's got good music as well.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's an amazing show. It's an amazing show. Always goes deeper than I wanted to go, didn't it? I just wanted to talk about Sum Ting Wong for ages.
Fucking hell.
Have you had a good time on it?
Yes and no. I mean, it's terrifying, but it was really fun and really good, obviously. And being able to, you know, go on and do that, it was nuts. I didn't actually think I'd get on.
Any regrets?
I don't think so.
That's good. It's
easier just not to regret anything, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. But you're allowed to.
Yeah, you are. But I think it was probably fine. What I did.
Well, we'll all find out. What Thursday at 8 PM on iPlayer.
Don't want to know.
Okay.
I think it was fine to do. I think it was fine to do. What I did. She has an offensive name. well, look, best of luck with it. I know you're better cleared up than we are on what sort of how it unveils and stuff.
No, but it's good when I watch it, because now I've got your two words for each person on it, so I'm going to watch this with
that.
I'm going. Well, we'll let you know.
well, they are accurate by your assessment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So,
with the caveat that this is your assessment, so they can't even sue us now. Because somebody thinks that about you.
Professional and lovely. Yeah. Actually, you've been very nice about everybody.
Yeah, I'm a good boy.
Terrifying and scary.
No, there was one.
Terrifying and scary we got.
There was a definite reaction at one point.
Which one was that? That was the Vivian, I believe. It was terrifying and scary.
Was it Vivian? It was Vivian.
Hold on. Well, bag of chips being an absolute mess is probably okay.
I think that's
a compliment. I think that's a compliment, really.
To her, anyway.
And what about Vivian?
She's just the scary, Vivian. She knows it. I think she likes being scary.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah. Scary's good.
Your voice is quivering as you're actually. She's just scary.
She's not the next guest, is she? Like, not here.
I don't like to think about her.
It's fine. I'm
oh, God.
Lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
And best of luck with you. Thank you for coming.
Absolute pleasure.
I really like that.
It's great. Kano.
And you just told me that's from Top Boy?
No, it's not. I say the artist is Kano. It's Kano of the leads. Kane Robinson on the lead in Top Boy. But that song actually isn't. That's one of his earlier albums.
I really like it.
It's really good. He's great.
I'd consider buying it.
Oh, Christ.
That's
okay.
How much
you
never
said any songs on the show.
No, I would have really liked
that's
it.
Yeah, okay.
We're joined now by Kadeem Ramsey in the studio. Hello there.
Whoop, whoop.
Now, you're branded.
Oh, yeah, you see this on my chest?
Yeah, you're branded.
Top Boy.
So we're talking about Top Boy,
I didn't see that.
Which Nat's a bit obsessed with. And you come in with branded Top Boy gear.
Well, why not?
Are you contractually obliged to do that?
No, I just like it.
Yeah.
It's no, look, it's you wear it well.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it looks good. I just felt like wearing it.
Nice
today.
Hoodie.
Who was it I interviewed? Hope from Top Boy.
Yeah.
Not that long ago. And we found out afterwards it was his first interview he'd ever done.
Yeah, it was afterwards. Is that right? It was. In fact, he was so good. He's actually coming again in a few weeks, not on this show, on another show.
Why? What's he got against me?
He said he would restraining order, probably, wasn't it? No, it's just.
It was a little boy. Well, I remember him being a little boy. He was lovely.
No, some other presenters here. We have two rappers that do another show. Sorry to not talk about you on this one. But they love Top Boy. And I was like, oh, well, let me get Hope on the show then. And then some of the cast members on for you.
Oh,
because we've seen it. We've seen the whole show and we love it.
Well. I'm not sure I want to promote Top
Boy. Yeah, you do. You've already had Hope on. It was funny because it was just before it had was starting and we were coming onto Netflix and we were talking about it from that perspective. And I was like, things are going to be quite different for you because it's obviously going to be so huge. And for you, it's a huge show, isn't it?
Yeah.
And has that happened with him?
Oh, yeah. I imagine it has changed for you too, as well, Kadeem, right?
But you know what it is, though? I'm not seeing too much yet because I've not really been out in public like that yet.
Okay.
Like, I literally just came out from Amsterdam on Friday.
Okay.
But the love there is mad. Like, I never expected
it. Was that for promo? Were you doing promo over there or was it just for a holiday?
I just went for, you know, Little Sims?
Yeah?
Yeah, she had a show.
Okay.
And she plays Shelly.
She's great in it. She's great,
man. Big up Little Sims, man. And, she just said, if you don't want to come to the show, come. So I was like, okay.
Of course, yeah.
Nice.
3 days off, why not?
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah.
Well, Nat's, this happens, this is Nat. So what Nat does from time to time is she starts watching Summer.
Mm-hmm. Not always, I even watch it.
And then she exploits her position as a producer in order to
in
meet everyone
way.
From it.
Well, hold on. When you say I watch it, I have done Call the Midwife and I've yet to see a single episode of that. But for some bizarre reason, I booked about 55 cast members from Call the Midwife on the show and I don't really know why.
It was a lot. It was a lot. And it was like every week. And again, I'll say this again, as I always say.
They were all lovely.
They were all really lovely.
Lovely, yeah.
Great fun to be around, all the rest of it, but I was just going, this is like getting weird now that I'm having everybody in this studio
just
from Call the Midwife.
Just went through IMDb and was like, who's ever been on Call the Midwife? I don't know why I did that. I had a year of madness there, I think.
Expecting crew at some point.
Yeah.
I'd come in and there'd be a boom operator.
What's that called, Call the Midwife?
It's on BBC.
Yeah, it's a BBC.
I mean, I don't
thing.
Know because I've not seen it.
I think I've seen it.
Have you been? I thought you were about to say I've been in it. I was like, another one. Another person from Call the Midwife.
I've seen the name, but I've not seen the show before.
I think it's pretty huge, I think. I've never seen it, but I think it's a pretty huge show.
Oh, it is huge. It's got a Christmas Day special, but I think I'm a completist, Kadeem. So once I start with one cast member, I have to follow through on every single person on the show, and I've clearly gone to Top Boy now as well.
Yeah.
But I've seen Top Boy, so I can talk about it.
I mean, can we make Kadeem feel welcome rather
than
make Kadeem feel like
I am welcome.
You are welcome.
But rather
than
make him feel
that?
Like it's some sort of challenge to get him on it.
You are my second one, which you can look at being my second favourite character, and if we look at it that way.
That's true.
So if anything, it's an honour.
Or a second
favourite
character. Or a second favourite character that you could get.
No.
Could be that, couldn't
Why
it?
Are you trying to make him
Don't
feel like that?
Don't see Ashley Wallace coming in here at any
I've
point soon,
I've not asked Ashley to come in here. I've not, do you know what? I've not even asked Ashley.
Oh,
No, I haven't. No, I'm not going to do that.
I told you I worked with him years ago.
Oh, on what?
I told you I did that thing with him and Ron Moody.
We did a
read-through thing.
Yeah, that was it.
It was nice man.
And then we talked, nice man, but we also didn't remember he didn't get the part, did you?
No, there was no part. It never got made.
Oh, that was it.
There was no part.
That was it. I remember now with Hope, we had this entire conversation. And you said to pass
Do you ever
it on.
Feel like you just don't really need to be here?
You said to pass
it's like,
it on to Ashley.
It's like you've walked in and gone, how was the radio? Well, it's a bit weird. It was just the presenter and the producer had a row and then I went.
This isn't a row. You'll know when it's a row, Kadeem.
How is it for you then? So it's I take it from Nat, and you know I'll take a word on this particular thing, that it has been a huge success. It has been a big show.
It's been crazy. Like, it's a dream come true, man. To just be a part of it. Literally, that's all I ever wanted, to just be a part of the show.
Right, okay.
Because you see, from the first season, right, you know the character called played Driss?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen
him. Talk
seen
to me about this, because I've seen the whole
so you
thing.
See, you
so
see
yeah,
the character called
Driss, I do know.
Yeah. Mm. Driss is, me and Driss are from the same area. Like,
okay.
I grew up, like, in Hackney.
Yeah.
Like, we both grew up around each other, you know what I'm saying? I used to go youth club. So, like, I've just always known this guy from young.
Yeah.
When I saw him on the show, I was thinking, what? Nah. I was like, bro, what? Is there any auditions?
Right.
Can you help me get on there? I was like, oh, man, I want to get on the show. Then it came to a point where I heard that they was doing auditions for the next...
The second...
The sec- Remember they split it now, but
because that's what I was quite confused about Netflix is when you look for it, technically for me, yeah, this is series three, isn't it?
They bundled it differently.
Yeah, they have, haven't they?
That's what it is. But then it was the second anyway.
Yeah,
I went to the auditions for that, and I was literally in the queue waiting with my friends for like over an hour, and it got chaotic. There was too much kids there. People was throwing stuff. You know what I'm saying?
So it was like open auditions for it.
Yeah, it was open. Yeah, right. You know what's mad? It weren't really open.
Right.
But these times, it was BlackBerry times. You know what I'm saying? Everyone had a BlackBerry.
Got you.
So when this thing went out that, yeah, there's auditions, everybody sent that around like crazy. So everybody was there. And then
right.
just got out of hand. I didn't even get to audition.
Oh, okay. Really?
Shut
Shit.
The door, okay. cancelled the whole audition.
Oh, wow.
I went back to my area feeling, yeah, sad.
Right,
so
right.
So if you look at Netflix now, it says season one, but yeah, it's season three technically. How did you end up in season 3/1?
Basically,
which is what we're calling it now.
Yeah, we're now calling it 3/1. Yeah.
My cousin, she heard that there was auditions, and this was around the time where there was talks about Top Boy coming back.
Right.
So when she told me, I was thinking, you know what? All right, cool. I'm gonna tell my agent. Please, like, please be on it. You know what I'm saying? So. When she found it, she recommended me for it. I went to do the audition, and then I was thinking, yo, I just auditioned for Top Boy. You know what I'm saying? I was gassed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was very gassed. You know what I'm saying? And then, like a couple of days after, they hit me back saying they wanna bring me in again for another audition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But,
recall.
Yeah, recall. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
I don't know. Remy for recall. And then I had to do it in front of the directors. And then they loved it. And then after that, I had a chemistry read with Michael Ward, who plays Jamie.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's where I met Michael. You know what
okay.
I'm saying?
Which is interesting because I was just reading that you are in a film.
Yeah, that's called Blue Story.
Yes.
That one's going to
chemistry
be
reads
big.
Are Sorry, yeah. absolutely I horrific. I think, as a thing, that's horrific because then it is truly out of your hands. Do you know what I mean? Because you're like, well, all I can do is go and do what I do.
Yeah.
But if the stars don't align here,
yeah.
Because it's chemistry. It's to see how you are with another actor who's normally already been employed.
Yeah.
Oh, was Michael? Had he already been?
Well, at the time, if he had that role.
Yeah.
No, he was doing a chemistry read as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So that's okay.
So they'll pair people.
Yeah, they pair to see how we all get along.
So do you think if either of you two didn't have the chemistry, would they try you with someone else?
Or potentially. The results could have been different.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah, true. But obviously you had chemistry because if you're in Blue Story together as well, which is a film that's coming out.
So you dropped on a bit there then, so you already knew each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's already there, isn't it?
Blue Story's coming as well, man. That's going to be epic.
It's a BBC film, right?
Yeah.
Epic. How do you have much to do? Like, you maybe don't, but do you, in the production of this, do you have much to do with Netflix in terms of the actual the behind the scenes people of Netflix? Are they on hand all the time, or are they very distant from it? Are you just making it independently and then it goes on there?
To be honest, I'm not sure about that, but I do talk to a few people from Netflix.
Yeah,
we do have conversations. I do have a few friends from there, so. Yeah, that's about that.
No,
really.
We were talking off air earlier on, myself and Nat, with someone, I can't remember who it was. Was it with another guest?
There's a guest. I am going to do a slight spoiler. I'm going to do it. Because you have got 10 episodes of Top Boy.
Yeah.
Which, you know, seems like quite a lot, I guess. Quite hardworking, quite a lot. But we have a guest on next week's show, because we pre-record it before this show, who's on a new Netflix show. This is season one for it. 60 episodes. 60.
One season.
1 hour episodes. 60. And I checked on that. That's all on there now. And I was like, whoa. Netflix Top Boy series 2/4.
But what we were
60. It's a lot, right?
It's a lot still.
But 60. What we were talking about with this deal was that
it was six zero episodes over only 6 months to do it as well.
But he was saying it was Netflix fun. Because I said, well, where have they got the money from? They went Netflix, and I was like, oh wow. And then we started talking about Netflix, and I'd had a thing. I watched the Dark Crystal series that's on Netflix, and there was a behind the scenes thing of that. As another like short film, well, it's about an hour long film on there of the making of, and they had a lot of talking heads, people from Netflix, people that actually worked there, who, you know, industry and suits, if you like.
Yeah.
And I was incredibly impressed with them, and I was surprised that I was.
You know what's crazy? Would you believe me if I told you I've not watched that before?
What, Dark Crystal?
Oh, I haven't.
It's not long out, and I think it would be something that you'd either love or you'd hate, you know, because it's from a movie originally,
and this is a prequel series.
What type of shows or films do you like to watch?
The only show I watch currently is Top Boy. I've been watching Top Boy over and over.
I love that you watch your own show. That's
really great. No, that's not only it. I've been watching.
Are you going for your Top Boy tattoo after you've done this interview? Right across your forehead.
I'm scared of tattoos.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah,
are you?
I don't want to be getting a tattoo and the guy says, whoops.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
one thing I don't want to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, I watch Power as well. Power's the
that's good.
Main
yeah.
show I watch. That's,
we
that's
we
show.
Had on a, sorry another show. Sorry. Rotimi, who's from Power, okay, on Fairies, and he was on yeah.
That's Dre.
Yes, Dre from Power.
Power or Powers?
Power.
Not Power.
Okay, no, so it's not the one that's from the comic book.
50 Show.
50,
Power.
Right, 50 okay, Cent no, works on it. Yeah. And he's always calling out cast members that owe him money on Instagram. Have you seen that? Have you seen his Instagram?
He's
anyone owes him money?
Cent, you don't want to owe that guy money.
No, you don't, because he goes on there.
I sort of do now. Why? What happened?
Well,
what?
Basically, before we spoke to Rotimi, it was like he was the one. He was getting, it's great that you got number one single, but where's my 50K or whatever that you owe me, or however much it was. And he will just go for people on his social media that have owed him money.
Oh, I'd love to have an online spat with
him. He'll put you on blast.
Yeah, he does.
What does that mean?
Just keep coming.
On social media, Instagram, Twitter, whatever.
Everywhere.
It will put you on blast that this guy owes me money.
He's very open about how much it is. He goes, that's fine, I need the money by the end of the week. Or there's like, then it's like, whoa, okay. And bear in mind, like, he works on shows like Power and stuff. Yeah. He has got a lot of power, funny enough. Right. But he's really, I love the fact he's just so openly about it. Just like, give him my money.
Yeah, man, you can't play with 50, man.
No.
and that works for him.
Well, he's getting his money, yeah. He's
very, I should do this.
He's public about
I
when...
I should totally do this.
You know, it is, everyone knows what 50 Cent's like, innit? Mm. That's his 50, like, he's petty. Right. You know what I'm trying to say? So that's just it. He's petty.
But that doesn't make it all right.
I think he's probably done
like everyone knows what Errol Shipman was like, but that doesn't make it all right. I'm not comparing 50
no,
Cent
no,
to Errol Shipman.
Don't. I imagine 50 Cent.
Although maybe I am Fiddy. Why don't you have a row with me on Twitter? Let's get it on, mate.
I don't know. Right, well, that's the last we see of it. It's your show now. Continue.
Oh, 50 Cent. I'm going to give you £50 this week, and then I won't give it him. And then next week he'll be on there giving it. Oh, I've never got that £50.
I don't. Okay, fine.
And
but
it'll be all over my Instagram that I've not got.
I do think he's probably tried texting him and like calling him first. I don't think he's just gone straight to Instagram. You owe me some money. It's a large sum of money.
I'll block his number.
Okay, fine. Like, we've all got his number.
I'll ignore all his texts.
Sure.
Why can I never have a big online spat with a celebrity?
Oh, we can make that happen if
could
you want.
Do you reckon? What's the future for the show? Is it ongoing?
What Top Boy?
Yeah.
It's a cliffhanger.
You know
so
what? There should be, but...
I'll be furious if there isn't.
I don't know. There's not been no confirmation. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's just where it is now. It's just in the air right now like that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So it's dependent on whatever it's dependent on. Is that sort of thing that is... It's set up to continue, but...
Oh, very
but
much
mainly.
So in the last
should
scene,
be,
yeah.
Be, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, definitely not. I would be very surprised.
I love that you're in it and you're going, well, it should be. And she's going, no, definitely, because I think you're fine. I know the
I'm
show
thinking,
better than you do.
No, what I'm thinking
she's not
is,
asking, she's telling you.
I'm telling you, like, could you make this happen as well, beef? No, what I think is the way that it's set up at the end and the people like Drake being on it and the way that it's done so well.
Yeah.
Netflix off sometimes don't do a second series of something, it seems like, if it hasn't had the kind of the buzz or the word of mouth. But they are and you can tell with some series of Netflix because they don't necessarily heavily, they just sort of there and you're like, oh, right. I didn't know this was on it.
Yeah.
But Top
but you
Boy,
know that Kadeem isn't Netflix. Like, don't shout at him for it. It's not.
Look,
it's not his fault.
To me, you are. To me, you
Batman.
Are.
It should be.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what
be.
I think.
I
yeah.
hope so. Anyway, I hope so.
Mm.
Well, these things. This is the show, right? That was on something else already, wasn't it?
It was on Channel 4.
Yeah,
when
it transferred.
Yeah, it out, yeah.
So
yeah.
It seems that this is a show that, regardless, has got its own.
Its
know,
own base.
Its own life
yeah.
force
it's,
as well.
Yeah,
so it's like, well, wherever it ends up, it ends up.
Sure.
But it's already not been averse to moving from platform to platform.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess it's plausible that it would continue elsewhere should Netflix not pick it up again.
And Blue Store.
But hopefully they would.
Hopefully, Kadeem. I'm giving them a stir.
Yeah, I don't want to run out of guests.
Talk it into existence, man. Come on.
No, I think so. Well, tell us about Blue Story as well. When's that coming up?
Blue Story.
Is it about the group, Boom? Is it about the band?
It's not about Blue.
No. It's about an area. You know Lewisham? It's called Blue Borough.
Yeah, yeah.
What did I just drop?
Oh, I didn't.
It's called Blue Borough, because right. obviously the bins are blue, so yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Blue Story.
Okay.
But, my Blue Story is about, it's about love, relationships, loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you see all three of these things being tested
right.
in this movie. And the message, like, we're trying to raise awareness. Like, the thing is that people think this is glorifying madness or whatever, but no. It's awareness. We're trying to raise awareness, trying to show... the consequences of actions. I'm trying to say, make people think twice about their actions, because obviously my mum told me every time prevention's better than cure, you know. But yeah, Blue Story's coming out November the 22nd to a screen near you.
So it's out on it's full release. It's on
22nd of November.
How lovely.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there's quite a lot about Blue that I don't know as well. I know they split up and
the
then
boy band
I think
Blue.
They got back together again, but I don't know if this tells the full story. I didn't know if they had anything to do with Lewisham.
You didn't even know they were from Lewisham, I was going to say.
I didn't even know that. So
All Rise, yeah, was about
all
Lewisham.
All sorts of stuff I'm going to be learning about Blue from Blue Story.
A lot of stuff, yeah.
I'm being facetious, of course. It sounds really exciting. Are you in a good place? You seem like you are. You seem like you're sort of like...
What, in terms of the movie or in life?
No, just life. You have an air of contentment.
I'm happy, man, from where I'm coming from anyways.
Yeah.
It's been a long journey, man, you know. I started doing what I was doing when I was like 15, 16.
Okay.
And that was like, I was doing like videos on Instagram and stuff. I was doing like Instagram sketches, like just funny videos. And then, you know, from there really, it kind of just continued to pick up more. Like people, like these meme pages and stuff, they started sharing my videos. And
right.
Started getting loads of followers and stuff. But then it got to a point where I'm thinking, cool, how can I elevate even more? What can I do to, you know, to get me where I want to really get to. So I went drama school when I was 17. This is while I was doing the videos as well. And then went drama school, got an agent after there. Got my first role in a commercial, in a TFL commercial, the Transport for London.
Oh,
right, okay.
I was in that. Then I've done, you know, Khalid, the American singer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen his video with Marshmello called Silence?
I've not, but I better not ask.
Yeah, I'm in that video as well.
Okay.
There's just been a lot, basically, from when I started till now, it's just been crazy. Like,
that's good, though, isn't it?
To a
that's
point
a
where
good
it don't
thing.
Make sense.
Yeah, but if you understand, that's more exciting, though, isn't it? If it's more, you know, it's all more of a mishmash of stuff, if it's not the conventional route, I think it's or whatever the conventional route is. But I think when you feel like, oh, God, then I did that, it started there, and it went to that point,
I started doing extra stuff. There was a movie called My Brother the Devil that was shot in my area.
Right.
And I was an extra in that movie.
Yeah.
It was from that kind of gave me the drive to say, yeah, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and chase this dream, literally.
Is there an element of it when you do like social media stuff and that, if you're doing memes or what, you know, that sort of thing, and you're getting a lot of followers in that?
Yeah.
Because I've honestly always wondered this, because I would transpose my own mind onto that and go, how would I feel if that's what I was known for? You know, for that sort of thing. And is there an element to that it doesn't feel real? Like it doesn't feel proper, you know what I mean? It feels a bit like it's an invented thing that's faddish.
You know,
and then,
you know what I'll say is, I wouldn't say it don't feel real, because first of all, a lot of people underestimate the power of social media.
Yeah.
Social media can take you so far. Like, for example, there's this guy from America called Shiggy.
Okay.
He's the one who started that the Kiki challenge to that Drake song.
Okay.
Do you love me?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one who started the challenge to that.
Okay.
And look where it took him far. He's got little sponsorship deals. He's doing little Instagram posts for brands and stuff. Like, that's created him opportunities, and that's what I've been trying to do.
Yeah,
that's the
whole point. But I'd say that's different, because I think that's a financial reward. So that would be a financial reward for doing corporate work. Whereas what it seems to me from your story is you started within the remit of social media and didn't follow the corporate route. You went, okay, I want to be I want to do acting. So you went to drama school, you got an agent, and you know, did, you know, bit parts or whatever to get yourself to a point where you're in something. And I think I personally find that more applaudable than I would someone who went, oh, I can make a shit ton of cash out of this if I just do, you know, an advert for whoever or whatever, you know. And that's fine, they can do that, but that I find it more artistically applaudable to go, right, I've got this, I could sit back on this, I could make a shit ton of money, or to have a load of followers like that, and to have a fan base, as it were, and then go, I'm going to go to drama school.
You know what it is? It's because acting's always what I wanted to do. I just didn't know how to get into it at the time.
Right.
And the whole comedy thing, it's always been a part of me. I've always been like a class clown from school. I've been a class clown. And I just wanted to create opportunities for myself. Literally, I just said, no, I need to get out there somehow, some way. I thought, Instagram's the way. I used to be on another platform before Instagram was big. I was on a platform before doing the same thing, but it just didn't work.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I just didn't stop. That was all.
Yeah. No, hats off to you, man. Honestly, I do. I think it's really, really commendable.
Thank you.
Like, genuinely. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Oh, you too. Likewise, man. It's been an honour being here.
Hasn't it been an honour for you?
Yeah, man.
I agree with that, actually. It has been an honour for you to be here. Yeah.
It's been an honour for
very few guests actually admit that.
No, they don't say that. And that's why you're our friend of the show, Kadir. You're a friend of the show.
Oh, come on, man. It's love all over, man.
It has been an honour. And do you know what? It's been sort of an honour for us as well, sort of.
It has been.
But it's definitely been. It would have been more of an honour if I'd not interviewed no one from Top Boy before. Now I feel like, well, this is just what I do. You know what I mean? I interview all the people from Top Boy.
Yeah, it's just what happens. Yeah, right,
and I thoroughly enjoy it. So that's
exactly.
2 out of 2.
We've done it.
People from Top Boy.
Yeah.
Utterly lovely. And, yeah, people.
You just tell me off air which ones not to get in.
Yeah.
We've got the nice ones.
Yeah, if you could let us know who's a prick, that
we'd we won't book them, and save us a lot of time
as well. cheers, Kadeer. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Well, mate, hang on. Cuts? Daniel, stand up, please.
They're not skinny jeans.
Well, Daniel, walk back
in
there.
Can we have a look
No, they're not. They're not skinny jeans. We're joined now, obviously, by Daniel Sloss. Hello, Daniel.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
You've come in here very bright and bushy, and I'm not really in the mood for it.
I'm on marijuana.
Is that what it is? But shouldn't that bring you down?
No, I used to, it depends what type. I take it because I used to be a miserable bastard.
Did
whereas
you?
Weed makes me, well, I still am, but
weed makes
me nicer.
Really?
Yeah, when I was in high school and stuff, I was always very sort of, I was just a fucking angry kid, and my parents had no idea why. Because
wait, are you doing material
me.
At the moment?
No.
All right, okay.
No, God, that was, I fuck,
I thought you were doing that thing, because it did sound like you were going, well, the thing is.
And no, and I don't.
This isn't Conan.
No, but I hate those interviews the other way around, whenever somebody fucking sees your routine on something,
yeah, yeah.
And they just try to set you up for a stand-up in a conversation. I'm like, so Daniel, I heard your father tried to have an interesting talk with you the other day, and you're just like, oh, there's fucking nothing human about this interaction.
But you're never tempted to just go, what the fuck have you heard that?
Oh, totally. Like, it would be the best thing.
Have you been in touch with?
Yeah, no, I don't. I haven't spoke to my father in years. Why? My father's
I've
dead.
I've never met you before. Why would you be hearing about my personal life?
Yeah, who snitched? What is this?
Go on, you were showing off about your drugs.
Yeah, I was a horrible little... You're just an angry little kid, and then I started smoking weed, and it just maybe a slightly more empathetic than I was before.
Were you like that when I first met you? Because you were a child when I first met you.
Yes.
You were an upstart, certainly, but I don't believe, as I recall, that I humoured that in any way. I think we did just take the piss out of you straight away.
Yeah, but that's what I loved most. But like, so many times in interviews when I was young, they were like, how does the rest of the comedy circuit deal with you being so young? I'm like, they rip the ever-loving shit out of me.
Yeah, of course.
And nothing makes me feel more welcome.
Yeah.
Like, it would be fucking worse if you walk into a room and know, especially comics who make jokes about everything.
Yeah.
If they're not making jokes about it, that's more disrespectful.
Yeah.
Because they don't think you can take the fucking banter.
Yeah, but there's also the element, though, isn't there? There's that more sinister aspect to it where people would be like, who the fuck is this child think he is? Coming into this grown-up industry, and, you know, which is obviously born of jealousy, ultimately.
Of course.
But I think it's quite an impressive feat, really, to break through that.
Yeah,
because you could have been kicked out. You know what I mean? It could have been like, you're not coming in. Fuck off.
I think I could have been kicked out, but I do also think that just more people than not were very, very supportive. Like, straight away, so many people did just. So
but we were all slagging you off behind your back.
Yeah, and I'm hey, and as long as it's behind my back, I don't care. Like, as long as it's just not to my face, you need to vent about something.
Some people were.
And Ian was.
Some people were going to.
Ian was supportive.
Like, really, really attack you.
Really,
and you stopped them all.
Now, some people. There was at one point. It was we. There was a thing like, so he could end up dead, this boy. That's what I remember.
That's nice. You always said nice. Although, having said that, a compliment from you is when you're just taking the piss, really. Like, sometimes it can feel like being roasted by Ian a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
But that's nice.
That's how I knew when we got on.
It's the sign of love for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
To insult someone is such a high form of compliment. Because
what you're saying
is you're like, I trust you to not take this personally.
Right.
I trust you so much that you know what I'm about to say. I'm just saying to wind you up. I'm just going to be a dick
because we both find that funny.
I think you've misread it, Daniel. I think it was genuine hatred and dislike of you. I don't think... Yeah.
Man, hey, then I remain blissfully unaware of
the entire time. Until this moment. Yeah. This is how you find out. This
just
is why
over the
here.
Years, I've been like, everyone really likes me on the circuit. They keep making fun of me. They keep throwing spitballs at me. It's just, I keep getting wedgies. It's just, it's so inclusive.
Men with love.
I don't believe, I'm pretty certain that I've never put the boot in on you at any point. That I've always liked you, apart from the first time I met you.
What was that, we shape?
No, you weren't at all. I don't think I even met you. Mm. I think I just saw you. I think it was a gig in Soho or something. I remember it, and you were headlining the gig. And I think we did Peacock and Gamble at it. And I remember you were wearing a leather jacket. And I remember
That's all it takes, to be honest with you.
Say no more. That probably fed into it. Yeah. But there was an element of just going, fuck it, fuck that.
I used to have the fucking Justin Bieber long hair. Like, if I could go back in time and kick the shit out of myself, I absolutely would. Like, that's what. Everyone would go back in time to kill Hitler. I'd let him be. I would go back and just beat the ever loving shit out of 19-year-old me. Like old school bully myself just to like, not too aggressive, but like trip myself up and then just not let me get back up. Yeah. Nothing overly physical, but just, or you know, knocking drinks out of his hands and stuff, just watching him cry. And I know he'll cry because he was me when I was 19.
Like, I know exactly how he'd react.
I know what he's insecure about. I can really fuck with that kid.
Oh, I wish I had now. When I eventually did meet you, I actually think the first time I met you was probably an interview. I think we probably interviewed you, probably on the old podcast or something. It was probably the first time we ever sat down and actually spoke.
Up in Edinburgh.
And you know, since I've never said a bad word about you at all. So it's not.
Well, thank you for not besmirching my name.
But I'd say that, wouldn't I?
I did say on this show today, we did say that we thought you'd be coming in here wearing some skinny jeans.
No,
I did say that.
You did say that.
But I was never the skin. Oh no,
I said that. Well, I actually said that. I went. Actually, that's not fair because I don't think he's actually part of that crowd.
I was never the skin. I had the hairstyle. I had some of the look, but I was never the skinny jeans. You know, I've always been an arrogant piece of shit.
Yeah, but you're also, one of the pioneers of this boy band comedy movement, even though that's not what you do on stage.
It wasn't what I was doing, but when we were young,
it was me,
Ian Sterling, Chris Ramsey, Joel Dommett, that sort of breed of just young, arguably attractive men if you've never seen Real Men before.
for insecure teenage girls.
Yeah. I know my audience, right?
Yeah. Ian.
That's allowed.
I'm sorry to dead name you.
Yeah, don't dead name me. Oh, that's what I should start doing.
That's what you can actually. Yeah, you can say that.
Don't dead name me.
I should start doing that. I'm getting really fucking arsey on Twitter about it.
Do many people still call you Ray?
Nah, never.
They don't call you Ray anymore.
I say never.
But it was only the context that you brought.
No, that's all right. No, very rarely. Very rarely.
Like obviously at the beginning, it was like, what do you mean, Ian? Ray,
I think
Ray.
I've been out of stand up long enough that it's not a thing. It's just not.
Yeah. I think maybe there's a thing we can Google because I've seen a couple of guests when they've tweeted about coming on. Haven't realised. I don't know why. I've seen them like not putting. Oh, it's because you're Infinite Hermit on Twitter. That's why you're silly. Okay. And right, it's not because you've got your own. That's why they're not thinking you're Ray.
Well, that was worth interrupting everything for.
I know. I'm so sorry.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Daniel, for supporting me. Finally.
What am I doing with myself?
Apparently, you're going on tour, showing off.
Yeah. But
apparently, you live in America.
I absolutely do not.
Hold on a minute. I did not say that. I wonder if he lives in America because you've got a Conan or thing on your Twitter background, you're always over. They've done Conan like 50 times, haven't you? So,
yeah. I go over a lot, but there's no amount of money that could ever fucking make me move to America. It's just fine. I like visiting there. You pop in occasionally. It's fucking mental.
When's the last time you went to Kingston upon Thames? Just saying, that's where I'm from too. So you were born there. That's where I'm from.
I was accidentally. My mum's from East Kilbride. My dad's from Thurso, but they accidentally conceived me when they moved to London.
Okay.
And then at the age of four, I sounded like fucking Dick Van Dyke. I was like, "Hello, mummy. Hello,
Hold
daddy."
On. Kingston. That's not the accent of Kingston upon Thames.
But if you're inherently Scottish, that might be what it sounds like to me.
But then at the age of four, my mum and dad were just like, "We are not raising that fucking at all. Like that's not." But whole family Scottish, we just can't have that.
So
moved up to Fife, got that really fucking nasal accent for a while. Then, all right, man, and then just descended into this middle class monotony when I was about fucking 16.
Is that what that is? Is it middle class Scottish?
I don't even know if it is middle class. I think it's just, for me, my voice is just because I do comedy in non English speaking countries all the time. I've always had to just slow down my accent because the Scottish accent is stupid. sometimes.
Mm. I like it.
I like it as well. And I like it, but it's especially in America, you can just see them. You have to really make sure that you dictate everything and that you don't use too many fucking big words.
Cause I would. If, I'm sorry. If it was up to me, I would absolutely have a Scottish accent.
Would you?
Yeah, I absolutely. If that's the only change. If somebody said you could have your own accent or another accent.
How Scottish? Are we talking Glasgow? Are we talking Ian Sterling?
No, well, not just a bit.
Like, just a wee bit of gruff.
Yours is nice.
Oh, thank you.
I like yours.
Thank you. Mine's is Caithness, apparently, because it's where my father's from.
Okay. I really like. I'm rarely happier than reading an Irvine Welsh book that's written phonetically Scottish.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I get that. Those are fun, yeah.
And it really makes me... I really love the poetry of it, and I'm like, oh, I wish I had that.
Do you enjoy Scottish Twitter at all?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I thoroughly recommend you just Google Scottish Twitter, and you'll find it's tweets written phonetically by Scottish people.
Okay, so same sort of thing.
Yeah, but it's them griping about things in a very, very Scottish way. And to most of the people, it's unintelligible, but it's fucking hysterical, man.
I know, I really like it. I really enjoy it. There's I remember having a row with Ed about it. Mm. I remember back in the day having a row with Ed about it, about Irvine Welsh, and him going, I literally don't know what it says.
Well, it takes you a while, doesn't it? So I've read
locked into that immediately.
It took me a moment to get it. Particularly, obviously, it was Trainspotting was the obvious one when the film was coming out. Then I was like, okay, let me think. I can do. It was really getting annoyed. Like, I can do this. And then I was working out and like, oh, I think I read fluent Scottish now. That's good. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not into it.
Really, it's a good way of writing because it really puts you in the book.
Yeah.
Because it's instead of your voice reading what the book says, it's forcing your brain to read it in a way that you just identify with the people and the characters.
But you're not even Scottish, you're English.
You're from Kingston upon Thames, as we know, so you're not technically
because a horse
Scottish.
Is born in this tie doesn't make it a pig. Which is something I said for years and years and years.
Until you found out that the BNP say it as well.
Yeah. I said it for years because for me it was just like, you know, I don't have any memories of living in England, so my whole life I've grown up in Scotland, my family's Scottish, I identify as a Scottish person, and I'd heard that phrase, I was like, oh, just because a horse is born in style, that's really, really, it's a good way of putting it. And then turns out it's fucking Bernard Manning joke. Yeah. Like it's a Bernard Manning, and I was like, oh no, he meant it the other way.
It probably didn't even originate with Bernard, but it has been appropriated certainly.
I thought it was really nice. I thought it was just saying, look, just because I was born down here doesn't mean, you know, I'm part of that. Like, I was more about where you're raised and your upbringing. Right. Doesn't matter where you're born specifically, it's how you're brought up. Mm. No, it turns out it was because they didn't want brown people over here. Yeah. And that's
it was
the phrase.
Exactly that.
That was it. And I've been using that as a defence for 27 years.
Good
until
luck.
Somebody went, no, please don't. Please don't ever get. I was like, oh, shit.
Okay.
Isn't that lovely? That's something that is utterly innocent. Can you
just really
the legs from under you?
It's like, how do you accidentally quote Hitler? I'm sure he said some nice things that nobody's quoted.
Well, he must have been charismatic, mustn't he?
Aye.
That's what they all say about him. Why are you doing a tour? Are you famous or
I'm
not?
I'm famous now,
are you? Are you, though?
Yeah, because since Netflix last year, I've become famous.
Oh, yeah, two shows on Netflix.
So you're on Netflix?
Yeah, and it's two specials. Because they went out, like, proper internationally, it's just, I'm famous.
Conan
now.
Keeps booking him on, so, you know.
Well, Conan was pretty, I owe a lot. The reason I got the Netflix was thanks to the generosity.
Are you genuinely, like, proper famous now?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, man, I toured. Like, Russia, I just finished an American tour.
I thought you were doing something in Russia.
We're about to do Russia, we're about to do Japan.
Can I ask why it's ambitious, but it's English speaking. Have you thought about doing something bigger and doing it in Russian?
Well, it's got live translation, so there's going to be somebody, like,
who's... Oh, I see. Headsets,
so some people are
going to
be with headsets,
right?
Yeah, like they're doing the fucking UN, so that why could be that? An entire... No idea, man. No idea. it might be a shit show. Well... You know, it sounded fun. Like,
what management are you with?
Clearly, he's on Conan.
They were like, do you want a gig in Russia?
And Live I was like, Nation. Is it them who've made you do it?
It wasn't them that made me do it, but they're part of the process.
What's MZA? No.
I think it was MZA is my agent. Marlene is Vickler. She's my agent. It was Russia that came to us. They were like, hey, we've got this fit. We've done it before with someone
Russia
else.
Russia comes
do
to you,
you
better say
it?
Yes.
I
don't want to say no, Daniel. Don't want to say no to Russia.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah, cover it up.
So you're essentially a shill.
Yeah. Yep. I sold my soul to the devil, and it's
awful.
You're starting tomorrow. Are you in Cardiff tomorrow? Did I see? Again, straight
well,
wherever it's up, down to Wales.
Well,
that's nice. Doing a lot of dates.
Got a lot of dates. This is the end of a 300-date tour now. So this is
what the fuck is this?
Logistically,
four
this
seasons
makes
off Broadway in New York.
Aye.
9 sold-out seasons in London's West End.
Aye.
That's bollocks. No, you've not.
I did.
When? When did you do that?
just all the
I
dates.
Want dates and the names of shows.
Yeah, I want sales reports.
That's very vague. London's West End. That's very vague, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm very aware of how we phrased it.
Did you?
When you say London's West End, do you mean in a theatre or just around the...
On the technicality, I was busking. No.
Fucking London!
See on the streets of the West End.
Daniel has been selling out shows across the USA in venues such as the Largo in LA, where he sold out his first date in under 24 hours. Yeah, it doesn't mention the other fucking date, so does it not?
Yeah, well, they were
the date card.
The Wilbur in Boston, I don't know that one. I know the Largo.
The Wilbur's the big one in Boston.
This is mental, mate.
It's insane, man. I mean, it's been a fun couple of months.
Comedy Central's Roast Battles, that's shit. Drunk History, that's shit. USA's Late Show. That's
did
perfectly
you do the
credible.
Roast Battle, the one over here or the one over there?
I did the one over here. I'm the only person that's undefeated on it.
Oh, okay.
I went against Desiree Birch in the first season and then Phil Wang in the second season. But I will absolutely admit this on air. The only fucking reason Phil Wang did not beat me on Roast Battle UK is because they stopped him from doing a bunch of his jokes.
Right.
Because I have a dead sister. I was once showed Dark's about. She died of cerebral palsy when I was 8 years old. And he wrote a bunch of really fucking, really, very, very, very funny jokes about my dead sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the censors said no. The lawyers said no. And I said to them, I'm like, it's my sister. It's up to me whether he does the jokes.
Yeah.
I'm not, let him do the fucking jokes. It's a roast battle. At the start of the show, Jimmy Carr says nothing is off limits. So,
right.
And Jimmy was like, we've got to have these on the show. Got to the point where my mum wrote a letter to Comedy Central lawyers saying, hey, it's my daughter. This is how we've always dealt with stuff by making jokes. Yeah. Phil has my permission to use these jokes. Please use these jokes. And they were still like, no, we're not doing it. And that's fundamentally the only reason.
Why? Why did they say no? Were they worried about complaints from viewers?
It's not just how, but it's not. It wouldn't be considered. I have no love for Comedy Central whatsoever in the UK. But it would be considered to be how it could potentially come across to other people.
Just because I can, just because I don't get upset about jokes about my sisterhood, it's a fucking, it's a paper thin argument.
My counter argument to my counter argument would be, mm-hmm. Well, if you're setting yourself up as a station, don't slag them off, but I'll do it. If you set yourself up as a station, you go, yeah, we've got this thing, and not, like as you say, Jimmy's saying nothing's off limits and all that. It's like, well, which is it?
Yeah, stick to it.
You
know? Yeah,
if you don't want to make programs like that, don't. But don't pretend you're making programs like that.
Especially when the roast battles in America, because I grew up watching the roast battles and the roasts in America back when they were good.
They say a lot of stuff on the American ones where I'm like, Jesus Christ, how have they got away with that one?
But that's what you have to fucking. That's what a roast is. You can't take any of the person. It's just who can say the worst thing in the funniest way.
Yeah,
that's the game. You go, but people say horrific things, and you go, yes, because that's the fucking game. If you bring in all the, if people start getting offended by it, they're not playing the game. They've misread it, and they don't get to enjoy it anymore.
The people that seems to want to watch have been the sort of celebrity people that are there. You know, the American ones, they have comedians. They've got the person that's being roasted, some comedians, and then some sort of well-known.
And on the British one, they've got you.
Yeah, those sort of people, and they're the ones that seem to be like, Jesus, they've said that about me. I think I saw you. I've seen a couple where they're going, oh my god, and it's like, well, of course they are. Like anything is fair game when you go onto it, right?
Yeah. You're on a knee today. You're very,
I'm tired.
You're proper, like, it's fine, but you're really rampant.
Am I?
Yeah. Oh, fast talking,
thanks.
Like.
I'm glad to know I'm contagious.
Thank you.
I remember this muff. I remember when you were making that.
What happened to that? Oh, it was a bit of a, you know. Well, we just.
No, you got it made, didn't you?
Yeah, we got it made. Yeah. Basically, what it was we decided that we wanted to try and we were sick of. The BBC and we were sick of production companies who'd never stepped foot in a comedy club walking up to you and going, hey, we know what your fans want. You go, no, you fucking don't.
Yeah.
Because you make no money off my fans and you don't like me. I know what my fans want. I'll make a show. And we were like, fuck it, we'll do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Turns out that's way more difficult than we thought.
It's
very difficult. We tried to, we wanted to do, get enough money for six shows filming over, like, six episodes over 6 weeks on a budget of like $25,000, and we raised $4,000 or $5,000, and we only got 2 weeks to film. And we should have just been smart in hindsight, just done one episode instead of trying to film. It was a fun experience. Loved working with Tom Stead. He's a riot and insane. Everyone else who worked on the show was brilliant. But it was a good learning experience.
Did you have a solitary row with a producer?
No, I was the producer. There was so little of us working on the show.
Then it was worth it.
Yes, yeah. it was fun, man. It was just literally, like, it was really nice. So many of it was just whatever made you laugh in conversation. We're like, fuck it, put it in the show. And there's none of this, you can't, you shouldn't, don't think it goes in the tone. So some of the stuff missed the mark, and we saw that. And some of the stuff really hit the mark, and we got to do stuff that we knew you couldn't do anywhere else. Yeah. So it was very, very fun, and something that I definitely want to do again. But but now that I know, you know, a better way to do it.
But how have you got famous? I'm still a
bit... So it's just the Netflix stuff, man. So basically, like, Netflix, you get different types of deals.
But why do I not know you're famous? Well, I mean, I wouldn't. I'm really quite really disengaged from all that.
Oh, you do have Netflix.
No, I do. But I wouldn't know who the...
But it's not famous. It's not real fame. It's comedian fame. Like, I'm famous for a comedian. So
you've got an audience. That counts. That's all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, I'll rephrase my question. How have you got successful?
Oh, okay. I got good.
You were always good.
I look back at my fucking young stuff, and yes, look, I was good at sort of joke writing, and I've always been a decent performer just because I'm an arrogant piece of shit, and I was never scared of it. So I just had the confidence in the arrogance of youth, right. And then that then combines with years of experience after doing it, and then I started just talking about whatever the fuck I wanted to talk about, doing the Fringe every year really helped.
Yeah,
like, just making sure that every year, no matter how good your last hour was, bin it and write a fucking new one.
Yeah.
Bin it and write a new one. Tour it, bin it, write a new one, and that's what you got to do instead of like relying on. You gotta have to always use this joke because this joke's good. Rely on your fucking self and I just want it to be, you know, I've always wanted to be one of the best.
I don't know if this is true, this observation, but this is a passive observation. I guess if you've done Conan and stuff like that and you've been on Netflix and that, then that might skewer it slightly. But I've always felt with you that you appear to operate outside the industry, so it's not the conventional. You, like, even your management and stuff, you know, I was like, oh, I don't even know who that is. Yeah. And it's, you know, that sort of thing. It appears that you have a foot outside the industry, which I think, belatedly, I understood as I got older, was like, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's what you want, if you want to be a big stand-up star, which I never wanted to be a stand-up star, you know, it was never in my thing at all. But like people like Izzard or Billy Connolly or people like, you know, it's like what they all had in common was they weren't like tied up with Avalon or Off the Curb or anything like that. You know, it was all, they appeared to be operating outside the industry. And I'm sure the reality of that wasn't, particularly in Izzard's case anyway, there was a lot of machinations going on behind the scenes and all that. But I think the perception of that can be something that's, it's kind of, it credibilises you.
I think it does because it does.
And then you go
people.
And do fucking roast battles and ruin it all. And Drunk History, like a fucking idiot.
You don't like
that. See, I've got a rule. There's so many shows that I just wouldn't do because I'm just like, I don't want to do that. But there's so many shows I want to do just because they look fucking fun.
Right.
Like,
right.
The reason I did Drunk History is because I'm like, do I want to get fucking drunk and talk about Scottish history?
You do that at home,
yeah, you could do that. 100%.
I want to make fun of Desiree Birch and Phil Wang for money? I want to fucking do that.
You
That's
could
good.
Do that in your, one of your little
know,
comedy cliques with you all off. Doing the football.
But I've always loved the Rose Bowers.
Yeah,
okay. See, the thing I would do, if there was a fucking version of Total Wipeout, right. That I would do that in a second. I wouldn't do Mock the Week, but I would do Total Wipeout in a heartbeat for no money.
Is that the one where people just get thrown into water all the time?
And the big fucking red balls. That looks fun. That's what I want to do.
Have you not got a garden?
Aye.
Just do it there.
No, mate, because it's filmed in South America because they've got no health regulations.
Have you still got your Velociraptor?
I do. We still have Rowdy. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there we go. You can involve that in it in some way and just film it and put it on Instagram or whatever children do. I don't know what they do these days.
No, I think it's still Snapchat that they use.
Is it? Yeah.
Well,
I think it's MySpace.
I think it's
MySpace.
It is. It's got a full background. Yeah, it has. It is.
Everyone's friends with Tom.
MySpace will come back. It'll be like vinyl.
Oh, fuck it. Do you reckon? Do you reckon there'll be some sort of...
It'll be rebooted.
Sort of old...
Do you drink?
Yeah.
So MySpace is where people, before they were... famous, like where Tom Hardy, where everyone discovered his rapping and was from MySpace because he put the account up there years ago.
Was it?
Him and his pants rapping and stuff.
Yeah, no, it'll definitely
come back around.
Yeah.
Who can remember the password? I can't remember my. Can you remember
MySpace?
I don't think
it'll be the same password I have.
I think I'm logged
everything.
Out. I don't know.
I don't think it's...
I'm going to have to reset my password.
I don't think they'll just reactivate the site.
I think it's gone. Really?
I'm sure it went bust. I think it went completely bust.
Oh, okay, I'm going to check that because I just realised I've never deactivated my account.
Do you feel like this is selling your tour?
Is it not? Because if it's not, I'll fucking leave.
Where do you want to be? What do you want to... Like, what's left for you now, then? Are you just going to now just gig?
Well, yeah, man. I want to... Like, after this show... Because I've been doing this one since about June last year. Normally, the tour has ended by April, and I've written a new show, and then I've got a new show at Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's the second show. But because everything's sort of blown up, I'm still doing this show. I'm fucking dead. I love this show. I'm very, very proud of it. It is my best show to date. But I'm very, very excited once it's done to just fucking write new material.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's such a hard thing to explain to people because you just go, look, I've not been a comedian since about October last year. I've been a performer since
right.
then because it's, you know,
you're doing a play.
Yeah. And it's, I want to make sure that I'm giving the audience the best version of that fucking show, and that involves not fucking around with it. I know the timing of all the jokes. I've got to make sure that I'm doing it to the best of my ability. That being said, like I've not played a comedy club in a while. I've not gone and done 5 or 10, and I'm part of me's fucking nervous to get back to it, and that's what's
really
exciting.
Well, yeah,
because I've been getting to my audience for 18 months. It's very easy to do well in front of your audience. They paid to see you,
but
they love you.
But isn't that the journey, though? Isn't that so? That's why would you even set a foot in a comedy club now?
To not be that comedian that gets worse.
I'll be it.
Not yet.
Fucking
no. When I'm 40, maybe. But like, I still.
I don't think you'll fall off that much.
No, well, I hope so. I hope not. But I'm not willing to take the fucking risk. I still love this job.
And fuck around in Cardiff tomorrow.
Just fuck around, just piss around for the
just
place.
Walk on and go. Just
fuck. Yeah, just go. Right. Yeah, here's 20 minutes and do.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you're on my audience. You've probably seen the show already, so I'm just going to fuck around for a bit.
Just go on and just be like, this is what you all sound like, and they do an Irish accent to just really, really piss them all off.
Have you got, is Kai with you? You got support?
He is, aye.
I should bring Kai on as well. Just have a fuck around.
Just the two of thanks, Pat.
Where is it? Was it a big venue?
No, it's the Glee.
Glee Club.
The Glee. You might fuck around, man.
Yeah, I can fuck around in the Glee.
Then you're going Bristol. This makes sense logistically. We have sometimes people in and you go, this is all over the place.
Oh, no, it's about to get worse.
Then Dublin. Yeah, then Colchester.
And then Aberdeen.
Then Aberdeen. Inverness makes sense. Newcastle, fair enough.
And then, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a bit haywire. It goes a bit haywire in parts, but for the most, it makes sense.
So your website's danielsloss.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the dates will be all up there.
Yeah.
I can say what they are.
Yep.
15th, 17th of August, you've already done.
Yep.
1st of October, Glee Club, that's tomorrow. 2nd, Anson Rooms, Bristol. Actually, do you know what? I'm just going to say the actual place. 3rd of October, Dublin. 4th of October, Colchester. 5th of October, Aberdeen. 6th of October, Inverness. 10th of October, Newcastle. 11th of October, Leicester. 12th of October, Lincoln. 28th of November. Oh, that's a break, isn't it?
Yes, but that breaks Europe. That break is...
Fine.
Russia, Europe, Japan and Australia.
God, you sound like such a wanker.
And you can
always
fit in.
28th of November. I can't believe you say it with a straight face. There's no air of embarrassment about you at all.
I've earned it.
I agree with that. Yeah, you have. 28th of November, Ipswich. 29th of November, Kettering.
What was that?
6th of December, Brighton. It just felt like it just didn't belong in there. I'd heard of everywhere else. I know where Kettering is, but you know what I mean? 7th of December, Southampton. 12th of December, Liverpool. 13th of December, Birmingham. And 14th of December, Dunfermline.
Aye.
That's a daft journey.
It is. I always say it's our buses, our tours are just organised by some kid with a map and a crayon and he just goes fucking mental. Yeah. And
they,
Life
they
Nation
spin him round for half an hour and they're like, stick pins in.
And then Life Nation go, nailed it. Book the flights.
So you're still enjoying it?
Yeah, I am, man. Like, it's just... Because it's also... It's a different level of fucking fun now. Like, everything's blown up. It's, you know, to actually get to...
Stop saying blown up. You sound like Ramsay.
Oh. A good way of making
every
me
time
shut
you
up.
Say everything's blown up now, it's like, oh, stop that.
No, it's gotten to a stage where I never thought it would get to.
That's fine. That's humble.
Yeah. Oh, but I don't want to be humble.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You've got the arrogant prick thing going on. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Actually, every time you have this room, I'm a big star.
Yeah. That's part of the shtick, isn't it?
It's exactly part of the shtick.
Well, it's a horrible part of your personality.
I know, but I've made so much money from it.
Well, and then, how gauche is that? Who does that?
Who does that?
Well, that's what you can say.
Who says, I've got a load of money?
That's, well, I didn't say, no, I didn't say, that's lots of money. I said, it's how I make
forget
my
money. Forget I said them dates. Don't go. Don't go. It's like, what? Don't give your money to that.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Horrible.
What a horrible boy.
I didn't say I'm lots not even of money. Say, I just said how I earned my
I'm
money.
I'm not
you
even
going to
say
lots,
your name again because I think you've come across as an absolute cunt.
So,
I'm turning your mic down. Your mic's gone. Thanks for joining us on the show today. Thanks to Scaredy Cat. Thanks to Kadeem Ramsey and our third guest as well. thank you, Nat.
Thank you, Ian.
Best of luck with what's left of your tour. I hope you fall flat on your face.
No.
I'll be cancelled by January.
Pardon?
I'll be cancelled by January.
I'd fucking love that.
I promise
because
you.
Because you'd get a really good show out of it. Cheers, man. See you in a bit, buddy. Yum, yum.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.